is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Bill Gates' advice on how to combat mistrust in science at 60MinutesOvertime.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Tuesday, October 26, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. As always, a fantastic show planned for you today. It's going to be shorter to a degree, probably not a three-hour show, but it will be a T-Lab show for sure. We're going to be talking about something quite important. The European Parliament, or select members of the European Parliament, held a conference where they discussed how what's happening today is wrong, the vaccine mandates and how it violates your rights, and a lot of other important information. Now, that does not mean, as I've always pointed out, that those people are necessarily on your side. That does not necessarily mean that they might not have another agenda behind why they're doing that. Possibly, what I'll point out in this discussion, because of the transition to allowing natural immunity, which still continues the vaccine passport infrastructure. But it's still very important. Now, I agree with plenty of comments already made before this show started in regard to how these people are not really the illusion of control. But at the end of the day, the point of showing this stuff today is to reach those people that are still lost, to recognize it's not anti-science fringe weirdos in their corners screaming anti-vaccine rhetoric. We're talking about members of parliament. Members of European Parliament, members of the United States government, there's the scientists, doctors, PhDs, Nobel laureates all across the world. So we need to reach those people to make sure that they don't just continue to parrot what the mainstream tells them to think, which is that they're all a bunch of anti-science fringe weirdos. That's not what's happening. That's how they always try to frame it. They'll make another point throughout the show today. We're also going to be talking about some other important information regarding the absolute risk reduction versus the relative risk reduction. Now, I'm revisiting this today because, you know, we've talked about this way back when that first study came out called The Elephant in the Room, which, of course, got no coverage by the mainstream media. But a video has been making the rounds, and I'm happy to see that on Twitter, which is usually how these things squeak into the relevant conversations because it becomes some kind of viral video somewhere. And they did a good job on this video that explains it really clearly, probably better than I did, about why these things matter and how and specifically something I did not explain, how they reach that number. So if you only have a relative risk reduction of like 0.8% and they tell you it's 95% effective, how do they reach that number? They'll explain that to you and show you that it's a manipulation of data like it always is, acting like you have 95% protection when in reality, it's the comparison between the two and they're both about less than 1%. And they're screaming that that's the best thing you can do for yourself, except they ignore natural immunity, the fact that most people aren't even at risk to begin with, and on and on and on, all the facts that they keep dismissing as fake news. And then we're also going to talk about antibodies again, but from an interesting perspective, something that I hadn't seen, an article that was put out a month ago by The Guardian, literally written by the scientist that we point to in regard to the antibody discussion, saying 5 to 6 times lower, where he says they've been taking my words out of context. They've been manipulating, they've been editing the videos, except the one we typically show you is the one that's on mainstream media website, MSN.com. But we'll get into all of that and show you why not only is what his game that he's trying to play after the fact, well, even if he was taken out of context, is ridiculous at the point that we're going to show you like we just did yesterday, coming from the UK government, where it says, shocker, exactly what he now says he didn't actually say. but it's now happening regardless. And we'll prove that yet again with multiple studies, New England Journal of Medicine. I mean, it's kind of absurd that I think he did say that and he didn't mean it. And now pressure, politics, whatever it is, he's rolling it back. No, I didn't really mean it this way. And you get into the article, it basically says the same thing. I mean, clown world, guys, that's where we are. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then we're also going to get into natural immunity. Ivor Cumming shared a really interesting graphic from the British government that is just riddled with wild anti-science, as he points it at anti-science extreme examples. And we're going to debunk them very easily. And of course, some stuff about children at the end that will probably upset you. You might have heard the FDA has just advanced the saying recommending vaccines for 5 to 11 year olds because, of course, that all adds up despite the 1 in a million chance of dying and not being at risk and natural immunity and just all the other things that they don't care about. Before we get into all of that, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the new version of Sovereign, or rather the new version of ice.media, which is Sovereign. I've been one of the earliest adopters on Ben Swan's website, and it's an interesting website. I recommend you check it out. It's much better than the ice.media version that they had before. They've been working on this for a while. I just thought I'd give it a shout out. It's a cryptocurrency based, blockchain based kind of concept, and these are interesting. These tend to be the platforms that I'm most interested in these days because of the way that it can work around the system, despite all the people that would scream about how this is only drawing you into the technocratic, which is certainly possible, right? But we all make our own choices, don't we? And we have to be show discernment around the arguments on all sides of this thing. I'm a firm believer that these things, whatever blockchain technology, whatever, can still be applied to fight against what's happening. Now, I could be wrong, and I'm happy to admit that. I'm open to different perspectives. But those that act like having that opinion puts you on their side is just ignorant. Just to make that statement, since we're talking about cryptocurrency, I'm always open to it. So please show me more information. I believe that there are ways that these things can be used, decentralized, anonymous concepts that are not tapped into what they're trying to build. That sounds like a solution to me. Regardless, interesting platform with an interesting blockchain base, and our videos on there, if you can see, already have 173,000 views. That's pretty interesting. Anyway, check it out. Interesting platform. I think it's going to do well. Another platform taking a stance against big tech censorship. Now, I also want just to get right into it today. That was the only one thing to start off in the beginning. I want to make a comment about what we just talked about yesterday. Let me make sure my voice isn't going robotic again. Are you losing me? Because this is where it really cut out the last time. And it was right when I was making the pinnacle of this point. Shocker. This system provides the most complete data on vaccine breakthrough in the general population. This is the CDC website for those in the podcast talking about how they monitor breakthrough infections. Now, yesterday, if you listened to it, you would have, actually on the podcast, you wouldn't have heard it because I cut it out. But it got all robotic and you missed some of the most important points. Bottom line is they use 99 counties from 14 states. That's it. To get their information about what they're telling you is the full information about breakthrough infections. But I also pointed out that it's interesting that they suddenly don't list death anymore. It says they collect reports on lab confirmed COVID-19 related hospitalizations. Now, that could be an omission, an accident, an oversight. Of course, that's might what they would probably argue when called out for it, but I don't see deaths listed there. Just my point. Now, up here, it does say studies to monitor the performance of vaccines in preventing these things. But then it goes on to say they collect data on breakthrough infections. And then from there forward, you don't see the death word referenced. I find that pretty telling. Probably because they're cutting off or shaving off one more thing, like just the cases on that side of it. Remember in the beginning, they told you, we're only going to tell you about hospitalized and deaths around breakthroughs, which gives you only a very small part of the picture, or part of the picture, I should say. Probably, I actually disagree with that statement. I think it's a big part of the picture, hospitalizations and deaths for breakthrough cases. But if you're only showing hospitalizations and deaths, you're leaving out all the cases, except you're showing all the cases that they want to tell you about on the COVID side of it, which then they compare the two and go, look at how much more there is on this side. It's an illusion. But the biggest part of it, which is where it cut out, this is only 10% of the U.S. population, guys. 10%. They are presenting you a number, and that's already a very manipulated number, and they're saying, this is what we know. Breakthrough cases are not a problem. It's all about the unvaxxers, except they're only looking at 10% of the population and giving you that data as if it covers everything. Bloomberg, as I keep telling you, did its own investigation and found 111,000 breakthrough cases the CDC didn't talk about. That was just in 35 states they looked at, and the only limited information they could find, and they admitted that. And yet, the CDC, with all of its endless resources around COVID-19. That's the best they can do. How about it's because those are the only places that they can manipulate? That's my thought. That's my feeling. Either way, it is a limited picture. And that is much, that simply put, is by choice. Wanted to make sure that got out clearly. Now, let's jump over to the European Parliament. Now, I find this to be a very, very important discussion. Not because we should take these people at face value. Hey, we got Tom in the chat. Good to see you, Tom. I got to meet him personally at the rally. Thanks for being here. It's not that we should trust these people or any government. It doesn't mean you have to immediately discount what they say either, right? Be objective and listen to what they have to say. There could be motivations behind why they're saying these things. Maybe there's an ulterior motive, but ultimately it doesn't matter because we're not just trusting what they say. All we're doing is pointing out that what you're about to hear is exactly what people like me are saying. In some cases, that this is a violation of your rights and this isn't okay and this is an abuse and this is tyrannical. I mean, they go off. And this is important because it will reach the normies out there that don't want to hear this stuff. Now, this is, as you can see, now I had to do a little bit of digging on this. It was a little frustrating because this is how a lot of this stuff works today, even in the communities, you know, whatever, truth community, whatever you want to call it. Because this is, or rather the video that's being shared is just kind of being shared with, it's a way less quality version. So it's almost like you can't see what their lips are, with the lips match what they're saying. And it was shared repeatedly by all sorts of platforms without any due diligence. Now, yes, it is a video. But we all know that that can be fake today. We know that audio can be put in without it, you know, all sorts of numbers. So I went around and around and around and traced it back to Christian Terhes, which is the guy sitting right there. Okay, this is his YouTube channel. And then he links it to his own Facebook page. So you can confirm it here with his own Facebook page. And what's interesting, and you can go through this and read it for yourself, it basically lists off exactly what they're saying. We're going to listen to it. Here they are again. Just showing you all the different pictures of what we just saw. Now, this is, as they say, the MEPs is members of Parliament. Or excuse me, members of European Parliament is what it stands for. So let's take a listen. And then we can go into some other points about the interesting obfuscation, I guess, of the coverage of what was actually discussed around you know, you're supposed to be able to find this stuff on the European Parliament website. And even discussions of these meetings don't seem to even remotely touch on what they actually had to say. Not very shocking in the COVID clown world we find ourselves in today. But let's take a listen.
Being here today and to answer our request for a press conference, we are a group of MEPs, a small group of MEPs right now. Many others were not here today due to the circumstances that we're facing right now. Many of us are joining online. Other of us are supporting us, you know, from their homes. And the reason why we wanted to call this press conference today is to raise serious concerns about the fact, about the discussion that is currently going on in the Parliament, that us as MEPs, our staff members, and the staff that is working for the Parliament will not be able to enter, apparently soon, the premises, unless they have a green certificate. And this is raising a lot of concerns to many of us as MEPs, to many of our staff members, and to many of the workers that are working for the European Parliament. So I'm here today with my colleagues. On my left is our colleague, Christine Anderson from Germany. Further to the left, our colleague, you know, Francesca Donato from Italy. And to my right, my colleague, Ivan Sinčić from Croatia. We are from different political groups. We have other members from the left to the right spectrum of the political groups that are all concerned about this problem, about this issue, that the basic fundamental rights of us, of our assistants, I say, of the staff members, and nevertheless of the European citizens, are deeply under threat right now. And before I go any further, I would say what I personally have to say. I want to introduce my colleague, Kristen Anderson. I know she had different positions, tough positions on this issue, and I would like her to express them.
Now, before she speaks, I just want to point out, I'm going to do my best not to jump in every 10 seconds. But one thing that he discussed there, and they're going to say more than once here, that we've heard all over the place. We've heard this happening in the UK. that we are talking about people in this case, or let's just say specifically in the US or the UK, where people were, they were pointing out specifically that we have elected members of parliament that are representing people in their communities that are now being told they're not allowed in the chamber unless they get this injection. So you're, so now how do you even pretend you're a democracy if that's what's happening? Remember, pretending is the case anyway, because that's what they're doing. But regardless, you can't keep people from the chamber if they're representing their constituents, regardless of whether, I mean, that's outrageous. And that's the same thing they're saying. They won't be allowed in this area. So now people anywhere that are willing to stand up, dissent, have a different opinion, have courage to stand against the political momentum are all being pushed aside. And all you're left with is the meek, feeble followers. That's not by accident.
Thank you.
Ja, vielen Dank. Ja, also das.
Thank you very much. The main problem, in my view, in connection with this COVID crisis, is that civic rights are being increasingly curtailed, and it's not clear why citizens would go along with this. One of the reasons might be, and this is one of the disadvantages of free democratic societies, that you always reach a point at which you believe that democracy and the rule of law and freedom are somehow God-given, that they've always been there and that they will survive. Whereas in actual fact, these are rights that have to be battled for, and that is why we have to do more to fight for this right to freedom, and that is why these fundamental principles, which are anchored in the basic law, in the constitution in Germany, should not be viewed as privileges which are given by the government and can then be withdrawn.
You're damn right. You are damn right. I never thought I'd be sitting here going, yeah, you know, agreeing with the European Parliament. The point is that this is exact, whether she believes that or not, you need to fight for this. This is not something you just passively allow to go. You need to stand up and fight tooth and nail for what you believe you have, what the free for freedom, guys. Historically speaking, this is the most important thing to fight for in one's life. And if we don't, it will be removed. Historically speaking, and exactly what she's saying, that this is not something that can be taken away, turned off because the government says so. Now, but yes, exactly. For the chat wise, all the links will be in there after the show for those new to the channel. I'll be posted afterwards and I'll be able to get it up tonight. So the links will be there. And somebody dropped his name in the chat. You'll be probably able to find it anyway. But this is super important because they're challenging what's happening, and it's coming from a position of authority, from a multifaceted political orientation. This isn't a right-wing thing or a left-wing thing or whatever. It's across the board people who are standing up and saying this is wrong. You're violating people's rights, and you're doing so with something that is dangerous. The reality is something that can cause harm is dangerous. That's the very definition of the word can or will cause harm. That's what it means. We all can see that it can. Therefore, it's dangerous. And as the guy we listened to yesterday, the ex-professional mountain bike rider who now can barely move because of the injection, if there is risk, there should be choice. It's as simple as that.
And I am unequivocal about the fact that I am not fearful of COVID at all. What I am worried about are the kinds of governments which exploit this crisis,
yes,
in order to curb civic freedoms and to grant certain privileges or not, as the case may be. What we stand for in Europe is freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. And there can be no reason for those rights being curtailed by governments. That is the real problem here. That is a problem we need to deal with. Make it clear to the people of Europe that they should not tolerate this for a moment longer. Thank you.
Yes, yes, well said. Now, just in case those unfamiliar with how these things work, the reason that was kind of not, she's speaking a different language, and this is a multilingual panel. So some the ones that don't speak English, they give you subtitles, in case people were wondering that. Just not everyone knows these things. And I thought that was very well stated. What she said was exactly, I feel exact, other than the idea that this is something, a lot, the undertone for most of them is this is necessary, but it's being forced and shouldn't be, which regardless of whether they think it's necessary, safe or whatever, as I said with the rally, as long as they agree and will fight for your right to make your own decision, we should all agree. We should all be on the same side, period.
Francesca?
Thank you very much to you all. It's very important for me to be here today. I think that all that my colleague Christine has said is really important. We have a really terrible situation in Europe today because, as she said, human rights are not respected. We have the European Charter of Human Rights, which has the full value of a treaty and should be taken into account by all national governments while writing their laws. But in fact, it's obliterated today because fundamental human rights, such as human right to individual freedom, to employment, equality, education, health, free expression of thought, are seriously violated. And all over Europe, peaceful protests are violently repressed.
Listen to what they're saying. How in the world can anybody be existing in this reality right now and pretending that these people are a bunch of anti-science fringe conspiracy theorists? I mean, that's literally what that's the gist of what the blue checks and the Twitter world and everybody else in the mainstream swirling around the mainstream narrative. That's what they're generally arguing, that if you believe this, you've just been taken by a bunch of misinformation from the conspiracy theorists. These are different political leanings. Parliament, European Parliament. Right. I mean, it's just crazy to me that we can, again, that doesn't mean that they're correct or that you have to believe them, but it simply shows you that this is not as lopsided as they want you to think it is. That's the only thing where I'm really trying to make here. Point I'm trying to make here is that there is a huge divide in even the experts that they want to point to, even though they argue otherwise. I'll show you that in that article we talk about the antibody guy, where he's going, nope, nobody on that side is even remotely credentialed. There's no scientists or doctors that believe what these dumb people are saying. It's just so silly to say something so stupid. Either he doesn't know that or he's lying to you. Because there is a waterfall, a mountain of doctors and scientists, and in my opinion, some the most highly credentialed people in the world are on that side. Just like the MIT study found, most educated people dedicated to the scientific method seem to be on the side arguing against what's happening, but they won't tell you that.
So we had in Europe, the European Union and the European Parliament introduced a COVID certificate just to facilitate movement between member states and with the purpose to avoid any discrimination against not vaccinated people. But whereas the Italian government and other national government in Europe have introduced a compulsory COVID certificate for every social activity, such as entering public premises or traveling inside the countries, or for in Italy just also employment, university education, and so on, they just make a big discrimination between vaccinated people and unvaccinated.
And remember, the Prime Minister of New Zealand just happily admitted that. Not that it happened by coincidence, but she said, yep, that was the point. We did indeed do that. She was very clear. We're dividing society among two classes of people, was the point of what she said. And it was very clear. As we said then, saying the quiet part out loud.
Because we have the introduction of an absolute presumption of infectivity for non-vaccinated people and of non-infectivity for vaccinated people that are both scientifically unfounded. And so we are forcing citizens to receive invasive and risky health treatment, because the informed consent that citizens are obliged to sign to receive the vaccines is not free. It's a constrained consent. So even when people have...
due to the language barrier, she's essentially saying that informed consent is not being met. I hope that's clear, right? That it's not free, it's being constrained. The idea that you're actually having a informed consent when you don't know what's going on and they're not including the risks, they're not giving you the full picture. And we've shown that 100 times over. Do you realize how every day, we're going to get to it today, there's a new side effect that's super, 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 super rare, and we're adding it to the pile. You know my comment on that. It's not informed consent if we're still figuring things out or hiding things like antibody-dependent enhancement, which has still not been admitted to, despite the study from 2020 saying this needs to be divulged. And it's still there, peer-reviewed, totally real. Don't care. It was a specific and significant risk, they said, and needs to be divulged immediately to meet informed consent. Crickets. That was in 2020.
Medical contraindications for receiving vaccines. They are obliged to do that. They are forced to do it because they would lose the job, would lose their fundamental rights if they don't. And when these people have adverse effects, even very severe adverse effects, they don't receive any free assistance. Even the reports of adverse effects are very rare. So the data of adverse effects that we can read on papers are just underestimated. So we have a medical issue which has turned into a democratic issue. We must today, I think, all stand for the defense of human rights in Europe. And we must do it all together, and we must do it now. We can't wait any longer, because a lot of people are suffering, are losing their jobs. A lot of families are losing their right to have money to live. And this involves not only national citizens, such as Italians or French people, but also foreign ones who work and live in other countries in the European Union, where the right of establishment for workers and the right of circulation is one of the founding rights of the European unity.
Now, I was trying to deal with an issue that was happening in Odyssey just then for the last like minute and a half. Odyssey is having issues for some reason right now. It's the connectivity. But there was a point there in the middle, and I think there was a point that I missed, but I'm not going to circle, go back. But notice that she talked about the adverse events. Again, something that is only those dumb conspiracy theories talk about, conspiracists talk about, because theirs is so fake news. This is the European Parliament all in agreement that that's a real problem that no one's talking about. Just realize how crazy that is, that this is openly being discussed, and we get censored for saying this and pointing it out. And this will be censored too, I promise you that. Every one of these, they were going around and just knocking out. I mean, guys, we have easily over 100 different videos from probably 50 different channels that have been censored since I started TLAB Pirate Streams. If you're unfamiliar with what that is, somebody in the comment section, please inform them about what TLAB Pirate Streams are. We are hacking the system as we are right this moment. They actually deleted two more channels today, and I just picked up a new one. And here we are. I even told them in the appeals, which I actually fill out and say, hashtag pirate streams. How you liking them, guys? And every single time send it in, I said, see you in a half hour after they deleted one. TLAB Pirate Streams. Make sure if you want to be a part of it, email me. Send me your information and I'll be using your channel next.
And the European Union. So I call for stopping violently repressing demonstrators, just listening to demands from people, and let's give back to people their right to live a full life with all the human rights without any more distinction between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Let's treat everybody as human beings, right, as our chart of human rights obliges us to do. Thank you.
Nice. Another well put. I mean, these people, you know, and, you know, just it seems it comes across as genuine, but, you know, ultimately, who knows? But one more thing to add, just, you know, I said this while we were at the rally as well. It's important to remember the history around the unspoken part of the history around what pirates really were. Essentially, that this was a outcast group, or, you know, grouping of members of the Navy, members of the British military, that were cast aside because they were meaningless after they didn't need them anymore. And suddenly those people needed to make a living. And these people had very skilled abilities on in the open sea. And so a lot of them ended up doing what they did and going after naval ships to make their money. And the point is, these people weren't the, you know, some of them weren't the evil villains they were made out to be. That was the government propaganda. Sound familiar? We are the modern day pirates, guys. And sure, there are people in this position out there that are bad people, just like there were back then. The reality, though, is it didn't start that way. And you can, there's documentaries on this. A lot of these people were, you know, high level members of society. They got pushed into this position. And of course, they're going to bite back because now they don't respect the authority anymore. That's where we are. We're seeing what they're doing. They are censoring us. They are pushing us into the corner. And it's time for us to push back. And I don't mean violence. That's never what I'm talking about. We're in a different phase of the world. Violence begets violence. And I believe that strongly. Regardless, you guys are the modern day pirates, and they're trying to frame you as the evil villains they want you to be. It's interesting, isn't it?
Thank you, Francesca. Ivan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. I'm Ivan Vili Barsinčić, member of the Envi Committee, Environment, Public Health and Food Safety. And all of these documents about managing COVID crisis went through our committee. I can freely say that. And I must say that it is really sad to see our freedoms, rights and rule of law endangered in Europe today. Unfortunately, in some countries, you cannot keep your job without a digital green certificate. You cannot enter a public building without DGC. You cannot enter a shop without a DGC. We are facing now, on the contrary, more and more evidence in practice and more scientific research and evidence that people carrying DGC can indeed infect other people. DGC is a license to spread and infect. Unfortunately, DGC gives a false sense of security. DGC is completely illogical, it's non-scientific, and it must be abandoned. I fully support the staff of the European Parliament in their positions, the positions of non-discrimination, non-segregation, the freedom to come to the workplace. This is their workplace, along with us, the MEPs. The implementation of proportional and adequate sanitary measures, the vaccine not being compulsory. 100% teleworking offered for vulnerable staff, free and informed consent, as my colleague said, which are prescribed with various international documents from Oviedo Convention, Nuremberg Code, resolutions of Council of Europe. We have Council of Europe right there.
By the way, on the I forgot to mention the Green Pass point. I put it off until the next show, but the lockdown part I was planning, and I just still am planning, it's very important to see the correlation between where they're going and where they're already pushing, despite the media hiding that. They're openly talking about how we need to use this model for climate change, despite the fact that all the evidence says what they did actually hurt us environmentally and otherwise. Very clear. There's multiple studies that have shown that. But yeah, we need that model because it worked. That one thing we showed about CO, you know, emissions slightly down for 1 month, and it all works, right? It's how they play this game. Ask yourself why multiple countries use Green Pass. It's not by accident. You'll soon find out. We'll get into it in another show.
A few meters from.
Oh, and by somebody just said a great point in there, talking about, you know, pirates or whatever else. You know, what did they establish? A counter economy. Exactly. Right. It doesn't have to be violent or illegal. It just the idea of working around the system is. But the point is, once we establish something like that, they will make it illegal. And suddenly then you are a criminal because they just decided so. Sort of like people that were one day doing something, you know, harvesting cannabis. And suddenly, just like that, now you're a criminal because they said so. Despite the fact that, wait a minute, weren't we using it to use to build, make ropes and sails for ships? And wasn't that what we were always doing? Because cannabis is both hemp and every other version with THC in it, right? That's cannabis is the broad genus of all of it. And they say it's all illegal now. So people that were farming it, people like George Washington and people that are historical, now they're all criminals because they say so. You see how that works? Were they actually criminals? Maybe not. Did they become after they did that? Some of them did. Driven to it.
This parliament building. Free and informed consent, a right which belongs to individual freedoms to decide whether or not to say yes or no to a medical act of any kind, medical treatment of any kind.
Exactly. Your choice.
My message to the staff is simple. You're not alone.
Yes.
You fight for your rights. And
you're not alone.
Along with you. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. I forgot that was in. You are not alone. Right? That was the whole point of what we did at the rally with the bracelets. They said, you are not alone. We wanted people to realize that you are not alone. You are not the fringe weirdo in the corner they want you to think you are. In fact, I believe you're the majority. The majority of this country is strongly standing behind the idea that you have a choice, even if they think you should do it, even if they think you're a bad person for not doing it. Some of them actually believe you should have a choice, and I believe it's most of them. They're just not being represented. I had a great conversation with the lady at the rally. Now, I think I'll talk about it in the next show, actually. Maybe I'll show the clip. I wasn't planning on bringing it up today, but this reminds me of that, who came up with a mask on and was very concerned and had a long conversation with her. And it came down to the fact that we disagreed on most everything except that we should have a choice. And that is the bridge we need to build, guys. Because even though she's like, well, I think you're wrong. I think this is dangerous, or you should wear a mask. We both agreed and walked away happy, and that we were able to have a conversation with each other about the fact that everyone should have a choice. If they are terrified that we will make that bridge, because then suddenly there's no division, because most people feel that way. You know why? Because we were told that was what this country was about. It's not shocking to think we would all agree on that, is it?
Thank you, Ivan. I want to quote something precisely from the regulation that was voted a few months ago that imposed all across Europe this green certificate. The paragraph 46 of that regulation states the following, and I quote, "This regulation respects the fundamental rights and observes the principles recognized in particular by the Charter of Fundamental Rights, including the right to respect for private life and family life, the right to the protection of personal data, the right to equality before the law and non-discrimination, the right to free movement, and the right to an effective remedy. Member states should comply with the Charter when implementing this regulation." This is what we was stated in this regulation, and this is what we was voted and what was agreed out of the trialogue. Well, if we look now, a few months after this green certificate was imposed in the European Union, we see exactly the opposite. All these rights that allegedly were supposed to be protected by this regulation are actually violated right now. People cannot work anymore, and they live under the threat of losing their jobs and their livelihoods if they are not having this certificate. I have a colleague here from Italy. We have about 1,000,000 Romanians in Italy, many more Polish, many more Bulgarians and other people from Eastern Europe. They are all citizens of this European Union with equal rights. I have to tell you that in the past few weeks, I'm bombarded with petitions from people in Italy, from people in France, from people in Spain, concerned that they will be losing their jobs if they don't have this green certificate. The problem is many of these people already had COVID-19. They have proof that they have the antibodies, the natural antibodies, and nobody cares.
And there it is. Now, I agree with that, right? I'm not suggesting that just because he said that, it automatically means he's got an ulterior motive. But I'm very concerned that even if he doesn't have that motive, that this will lead in that same direction. Because we're not asking for people to recognize our natural immunity. We're asking for people to recognize that they don't have a right to force this on you because that's a possibility. That's it. They have no right to force anything if that's the case. The point is, if they really wanted to try to force, they should force testing. I'm not saying they should, but if there was one thing, they say, well, you need to make sure you don't have it. That would at least be an honest argument to say, we want to make sure you have that natural immunity to make sure people are safe. But the ultimate point is still that they shouldn't be able to force anything on you at all. Bodily autonomy. Right? It's a tired comment, but it's still just as valid. What happened to my body, my choice? How stupid must we be to not see how dumb it is to be screaming one moment ago, my body, my choice, and then suddenly, well, except for now, never again. It's just so ridiculous. These things mean nothing to these people in power. And it also shows you that the people that are so primed up by their partisan wedge talking points that the moment the government shifts a different direction, they go, okay, no longer matters. Trust women. Okay, no longer because Biden said, not that woman. It's just so stupid that people tag along with that. It shows you that they're feeble-minded type people that will just go along with how they're driven to think. And I don't believe that's most. I really don't. Now, to each their own, I'm sure people would think that way because that's what the media wants you to think. Remember that we don't have a real perception of what most people are doing or thinking or acting. There's really no way any average person can do that. All you have is social media and the mainstream media and independent media, and you take from that what you will. Who has the most power? The mainstream media. So most all of us glean, at the very least, our perception from them about what the majority actually is, and that's not accurate. Now, by the way, glean doesn't even mean, it's funny, it's commonly used in a way to make it sound like it's a quick thing. It's not really a quick thing. It means to look over. Even the word peruse, which I think is funny, actually means to deeply investigate. It's basically to investigate thoroughly. But people act like it means small. It's just funny how we use words. But on that note, talking about those things, it's your responsibility to understand these things for yourself. Take the time to do so.
They're forced to do or to be exposed, for example, or to take a medical product that for what various reasons, they don't want to take it. If they don't do it, they will lose their jobs. So our concern is this the type of European Union that we want to build, that we want to accept? Is this the European Union, as it is stated in the Treaty of the European Union, that this union is a space of freedom? Do we still have that freedom anymore or not? So some of the people, I would say, that raised these concerns during the debates in the plenary when this green certificate was debated. At that point, our voice was in a minority, and it's proven by the votes. The problem now is more and more people in Europe are affected by the decision made even by this House. You've seen the protests in Italy and in many other countries. Unbelievably, I'm coming from a former communist country. We haven't had a protest for liberty since the fall of communism. Out of the blue, we see people now in Romania. And we've seen, interestingly enough, in Spain, in Italy, and in many other countries fighting for freedom, for liberty. They're not fighting for higher pensions, for higher salaries, or for any of these other rights. They simply fight for the basic human right of being free.
Think about what he's saying.
To decide implicitly what they want to do with their body. So,
what a stark and obvious point. I mean, think about that. It's so interesting to see. And people are simply protesting for freedom right now. I mean, this is, what are we, Braveheart? I mean, it's outrageous to think that this is what people, it's correct though, isn't it? Well, they want you to act like it's all a bunch of fringe weirdos. But we're in that position. We are literally fighting for our freedom. And it's so incredible that it's so stark and obvious. And all that's stopping that realization is the mainstream's control over the perception of what's happening. People are terrified in that large majority in the middle that's not sure what's happening, but agree that you should have a choice, but they're still wavering on what's really happening or afraid to speak up or all a number of things. We need those people to realize that this is indeed what's happening and that they are indeed slowly being driven into subjugation. It's just about getting the data in front of these people, right? The people that are on the extreme side of that you're all vaccines good no matter what, most of them are never going to care what you show them. But there is a grouping in the middle they don't want you to see. They want you to think it's only far left and far right and that's all that matters. There's a huge grouping of people that could be swayed with information, that could find common ground like the lady in the mask, to simply realize that we are already on the same page.
This issue was raised by us. It's proven by the records of the parliament. Now it's affecting a lot of people, a lot of our citizens. Now the problem is that it's affecting all of us here. And it's threatening the parliamentarian democracy even of this house. Because if we will not be allowed to enter this house, unless we have a green certificate, we will not be able to do our job here.
Exactly.
But along with us, it's our assistants and our staff members. I have to tell you that us and many others of us were contacted anonymously, you know, or off the record, I would say, by many of the staff members who are deeply concerned. People that work for this house for decades. They have a family, they have mortgages, credits in banks. And now they live with this threat that sooner than later, if they don't have this green certificate, they will be losing the job. But they haven't done anything wrong. This is the absurd situation. Many of them already went through this insane illness that killed so many people. They have proof that they developed a natural immunity. And for some reason, unknown reason, illogical reason, non-medically proven reason, they will be faced with losing their jobs.
Sorry about that. I'm still here. I'm going to get a bunch of comments. Oh, no audio. The point is, you know why. Because you watch this show. Not because I said it and you just believe what I say, but because I've shown you the science that backs it up. The peer-reviewed science from the places that they tell you to listen to that they're ignoring simultaneously show you the reality. They are just ignoring this because there's obviously something there they don't want people to think about. On top of that, I think truly, it's about transitioning this passport over to natural immunity as one of the options, which drives everybody into the passport infrastructure. And then, oh, now it's about climate change. Too late. You're already done. You already have it. You already have your passport on your phone. However this works, next virus, next reason they drive this infrastructure forward into the technocratic future. My opinion, obviously, regardless. How in the world can we pretend that these people just up and forgot what natural immunity was? I mean, are we children?
Unless they have a green certificate, it is not fair to them. It is not fair to the citizens of this union. And it's not fair to all of us. You know, we were elected here to represent our citizens.
Exactly.
We have our assistants, you know, who are helping us to serve our citizens. But nevertheless, there are thousands of people working for the parliament, for the commission, for the council. Without them, we will not be able to do our jobs. They are the unknown people that are actually carrying this everything that we do here and everything that we have here. And just this stress to come to work every day, to be threatened, to be afraid that you might lose your job because you don't have a certificate that is not certifying anything. Because clearly, if you're vaccinated, you can get COVID and you can spread the virus. I mean, it's proven already.
You're damn right.
And if you have a negative test, that is just proving that at the moment when you got the test, you were negative. But it doesn't mean when you leave the office or the testing place, you might not get infected and infect other people. Interestingly enough, in the parliament, and this is the absurd situation, we all agree that if you have proven of natural immunity, you should be allowed to travel free. They removed that from the regulation. So now healthy people cannot exercise their basic fundamental right. So an idea a regulation that started with the idea in mind to facilitate freedom of movement, now it's a tool, I would say, used to condition your right to work, your right to eat, your right to travel, your right to personal life, and many other things. So the reason why we had this press conference is to express through our voices the concerns of us, the concerns of our staff members, and nevertheless, the concerns of hundreds and maybe thousands of people that are working in the parliament, in the council, and many other European institutions. We are here for you, and we will fight for you.
Now tell me that's not important. you won't find that. You try to search for that video, it's almost impossible to find any. I mean, where's the full video? I spent half the day today trying to track down the full content, the full recording of that conference. All I found was his channel posting that part of it. Because as you can see, it starts, I mean, it might just be it cuts off his first word. That might be what it is, because that seems like most of the whole thing. But where's the official channel? Oh, weird, if you can't find it anywhere. It's incredible that that's the case. It's incredible. And what he's pointing out to you, what all of them are pointing out to you, is this is wrong. What they're doing is a power grab, a control structure. I mean, look, he just talked about the concept of free movement. That is an international human right. Doesn't matter. And the reality is that that's what they founded this on, whether that was really what they believed in. And now they're just going the other direction. They're saying COVID's been this control structure has been put in place. And now they're using it to say, well, you have to get permission for everything. Eat, live, talk, sleep, drive, fly, anything. You have to get permission. And that is the antithesis of what they're talking about and what they claim they created. It's the antithesis of what we believe this country was created on in the United States. Is that a surprise? Is that a coincidence? No, it's obviously what this has been driving to the whole time. In fact, what I think has always been happening that we just haven't really seen until now. And there's your European members of parliament that are telling you what they believe is happening. And all the media will do is ignore it and call anybody that thinks otherwise a fringe anti-science conspiracy theorist. You should realize quite clearly that you are not wrong in what you think is happening today. They see it too. Now realize that the next part of this, whether they go natural immunity or not, is the fully vaccinated definition, which they already told you, which, by the way, the U.S. already hinted is going to change. Israel already, it did change. Other parts of the world are doing the same, primarily Europe. So what happens then? Oh, that's right. If you don't get the third shot next, well, now your green pass gets removed, just like Israel's already doing. How do we not see that obvious trap? It's outrageous. Now, look, if you think that these things are right for you, then you have that choice to take it. Nobody's anti anything, hopefully, on this side of the argument. I'm not. I'm speaking for the chat. All I hope we're all on the same page about is that we people should have a choice. The only people anti things are the people pointing at us and saying we're not allowed to make our own choices because they don't like what the choice that we're making. We're over here going, do what you want. Just don't force it on me. And we're the irresponsible ones. We're the irrational ones. This is clown world. This is bizarro world for the comic book readers out there. That's where we are. And it couldn't be more clear. Now, I just want to make this clear again. You can read this for yourself on his own page. This is what I was trying to search for, and that's just not showing up because that's how he listed as the press release. Weird that it's nowhere. Now, here's all I could find. Now, I think I'm just going to skip over this for the most part just because the point is that you won't find any of that conversation, whether on 21 or 20 or 20 or 21. And you can see that he posted as 21. All they really get into under COVID-19, what you find interesting on this one, not really much of anything, but it's saying they're voting on transparency around injections and a couple of different things. Here's one in regard to, it was right in here under COVID somewhere. Maybe it wasn't this one. Right, regardless, all these are about the 21, 22 discussions. Here's the one about more transparency around their vaccine policies, saying that they call for legislation to make the process of researching, purchasing, distributing COVID vaccines more transparent. This would enable members of European Parliament to effectively scrutinize the vaccine policies. Same time, the Commission should be discussing the policies openly with citizens. And guess what they get into? Posting the contracts they have with the Pfizer and the different vaccine companies. Oh, guess what, though? We just talked about that yesterday. Guess what they're not allowed to do? In the Pfizer contracts, they make it quite clear you're not allowed to even discuss these contracts. So apparently not even members of parliament are aware of that. And guess what won't happen? They won't talk about it because they're not allowed to contractually. We just proved this yesterday. I mean, this is incredible. So my point nonetheless is that guess what's not listed? Everything they just said. You think that's by accident? Now, just to make one more point clear, this was actually shared with me by my assistant right before we went live from the Scottish Sun. Guess what? Exactly what we told you would happen. Exactly what already happened in the UK that they got caught for doing right in the beginning. They're using your data from the vaccine passports and they're selling it to data companies. Oh my God, who's shocked to see that happening? Who didn't see that coming? And remember, their huge promise was no, we'll never do that because it's all about your privacy and this is just for your safety. And they sell your data. no problem, and they're not. It doesn't even matter. Now that it's done, well, it's for your safety. It's for, we're optimizing your passport experience, right? That's why we gave it to Amazon, so they can optimize how it feels to you. Is that the lie they use everywhere else? We're just trying to optimize your user experience while we sell it everywhere else and spy on you about everything you're doing. Data leak, again, because it got leaked, not because they told you about it. Scott's vaccination passport app shares personal data with Amazon and Royal Mail. So let's be very clear. It's not just Scottish people, guys. That's what these things are doing. The biggest profit to be had is data. As Corbett coined years ago, I think, at least a year ago or more, but I think it was years ago, data is the new oil. So that's what we're looking at. Data is the most, possibly the most profitable thing out there right now in regard to what's all happening. And of course they're going to make that money. But it's more than just money, obviously. But it says personal data on Scotland's vaccine passport app has been shared with a multitude of private firms and online businesses. Details of people's full names, their date of birth, and their jab records come up when someone's QR code on the NHS Scotland COVID status app is scanned on the separate verifier app. Now, guess what that does? That violates your rights. Remember the whole point that we won't even know your name? They're obviously keeping tabs on who has it and who doesn't. That's how they knew who to call when they were pushing vaccine shots. They were calling those that didn't have them yet, right? They lied about all of this. This is a blatant lie because they are actively sharing your personal information amongst the Amazon, I'll list them off in a second. Not only that, though, the government, the agencies, the people involved, the COVID trackers, the contact tracers, they have access to what you are, what you're thinking, what you've done, whether you're resistant. And this is exactly the reality we made in the beginning, or the point we made in the beginning, that this is a huge violation of your rights in 100 different ways. I thought this was supposed to be private. I thought my medical status was supposed to be private. They don't care about anything. Nothing is sacred to these people. That information is claimed by the Sunday Mail to have been shared with companies including Amazon, Microsoft, oh, what a shocker, ServiceNow, Royal Mail, and AI facial recognition firm. Yeah, because this isn't leading very headstrong, clear into a technocratic future. It is now required by law to show proof of inoculation to get into football grounds and nightclubs in Scotland as they then sell that data to whoever will spy it. Privacy information on the Scots Passport app reveals that personal information of its users will be shared to Albasoft, Amazon Web Services, CFH DocMail, gov.uk Notify Service, iProve, Jamiro, Microsoft Azure, Net Company, Royal Mail, and Net Company. This is unbelievable. This is why we always point out that the people anywhere that are using these Microsoft Azure, Amazon Cloud Services, regardless of whether they don't realize it or not, they're part of the problem because they, let's say it's a streaming platform, they can be shut down should they choose to remove that. So remember that. Anybody that's using those services, you should realize is not on your side, whatever that platform may be. Now, moving over to the risk. Now, this is a really important point that I've made before. Knowing that the people like we just discussed can clearly see there's a problem, recognize that this stuff is not very hard to see. And this has been on the table for half a year, if not longer. The elephant in the room, that study came out a long time ago. And it very clearly laid out that Fauci manipulated people, whether it was by accident or not, you make your own decision on that, about using relative risk reduction when they should have very clearly been using absolute risk reduction. And guess what it does? It turns a 0.08 number into a 95% number. You want to see why? You want to see how that works? Well, let me show you. Because this is hugely important to the manipulation of the whole thing. And I mentioned this on that first rally I spoke at, that this was one of the parts of, this is one of the original foundations of the illusion that they've been building on ever since.
You have the right to know the potential benefit of any, and you have the right to know the potential benefit of any intervention. For example, Pfizer reported that its vaccine shows a 95% efficacy. That sounds like it protects you 95% of the time, right? But that's not actually what that number means. That 95% refers to the relative risk reduction, but it doesn't tell you how much your overall risk is reduced by vaccination. For that, we need absolute risk reduction. In the Pfizer trial, 8 out of 18,198 people who were given the vaccine developed COVID-19. In the unvaccinated placebo group, 162 people got it, which means that even without the vaccine, the risk of contracting COVID-19 was extremely low at 0.88%, which the vaccine then reduced to 0.04%.
So excuse me, 0.8%. I was just pulling it off the top of my head. So there's the breakdown right in front of you. For those on the podcast, you just heard it. 0.88% versus 0.04%. Now keep watching.
So the net benefit, or the absolute risk reduction that you're being offered with a Pfizer vaccine, is 0.84%. That 95% number, that refers to the relative difference between 0.88% and 0.04%. That's what they call 95% relative risk reduction. And relative risk reduction is well known to be a misleading number, which is why the FDA recommends using absolute risk reduction instead.
Think about how crazy that is. They know that, and that's why they chose to say it, because it makes it look more serious. It's all there for you to look at, guys, like everything we talk about. Historically speaking, if they think it's a misleading number, if they think it looks, I mean, this is about tricking people into thinking what they have is good. How do we not see this? The other illusions, the using of the PCR test and the cycle threshold and the manipulation, the adding of flu and pneumonia. This is about building an illusion from the ground floor, which is why I've always argued that it's just as likely, or at the very least, put it this way, it's possible that something like this could literally be completely fake. I'm not even necessarily saying that I believe that's what's happening. I'm still have that open possibility. But there's a lot of other things that challenge that. But just realize that, let's just hypothetically say a government wanted to create something like this. All of the tools are there for them. All of them. It's happened before, in fact. So just consider that. To realize that all I'm making in that, saying in that point, is that the illusion, even if it is a base real concept, is very, very clear based on things just like this.
Absolute risk reduction instead, which begs the question, how many people 85% relative risk reduction? And relative risk reduction is well known to be a misleading number, which is why the FDA recommends using absolute risk reduction instead, which begs the question, how many people would have chosen to take the COVID-19 vaccines had they understood that they offered less than 1% benefit?
Think about that, guys. It's staggering. And this is not new. This is based on, you could see, the Pfizer data themselves. But the study that came out talking about this was a peer-reviewed study that's still there. The elephant in the room. The lie that nobody talks about. Where is the mainstream media that's supposed to be trusting the science? Oh, that's right. They're ignoring all the science. According to Pfizer's own data. It's just ridiculous. Now, here is a liberal senator, as they put it, Gerald Rennick, speaking the truth about the adverse events, and watch the way that they are constantly shouting him down for bringing up the fact that there are people. He's not even citing percentages or majority or anything like that, just simply saying that there are people who are having adverse events that they're ignoring, and all they can do is attack him for pointing out an obvious reality, by the way, that they've also admitted to. This is that paradox I keep pointing out. So they're admitting, yes, it is possible, and yes, there are cases of myocarditis, and yes, there are cases of Bell's palsy, yes, there are cases of vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia, yes, there are cases of blood clots, yes, there are cases of heart attacks, all super rare, super cases of super rare everything all over the place, but it's all super rare. And then when someone goes, here's a case, oh, you're a fake news liar, anti-science, right? It's so silly. How can you say it's possible, but then anytime anybody brings up any case, it's automatically fake news? How do you not see that? It's just so silly. But let's watch it right on here, since there's a few of these videos. They're all like a minute, 2 minutes. So check it out.
I'm not worried about 2050 at the moment. What I'm worried about right now is what's happening in 2021, and in particular, the adverse events that are happening to young people across the country from vaccines in the last week.
Hang on a minute. Let me know if the sound is okay for everybody. See, he already tries to cut him off just because he mentions adverse events. Think about that. Think how silly that is.
21, and in particular, the adverse events that are happening to young people across the country from vaccines in the last week. In the last week, I've had a 37-year-old woman who's had a stroke, been told she's got to take a second vaccine, is going to lose her job. I've had a 19-year-old girl who's had severe clots in her legs and her lungs. She's in hospital. She took that Pfizer shot last Thursday night. I've spoken to a 31-year-old man.
Little low. All right, I'll grab it. I'll grab the video. One second. So the point here, since I'm pausing and grabbing the actual video for you guys, he mentions that these people are having problems. Now, regardless of whether we're saying that we know for sure it was caused by the injection, what he's saying is they had blood clots, they had heart attacks, right? And then they said, oh, well, now you still have to get the second shot or you're going to be fired. Now, I don't care whether you think it was caused by that or not. How is that even remotely how is that even possible? So we know as a matter of fact that it can cause these exact problems, even though we go, we don't know, it might not be that. So then that person who got that, however you think they got it, standing there with a blood clot, you're going, take that shot that could cause you to have a blood clot because this is the best thing ever and you're crazy. You don't even have it, even though we just proved that you have it, but we're denying that it's actually because of the vaccine. Now here, take this vaccine that can obviously cause this also. How are these people even real? Because they fired all the ones that had courage to stand up. That's why. I mean, it's just sickening to me where we are right now. First one.
I'm not worried about 2050 at the moment. What I'm worried about right now is what's happening in 2021, and in particular, the adverse events that are happening to young people across the country from vaccines in the last week, I've had a 37-year-old woman who's had a stroke. Been told she's got to take a second vaccine and is going to lose her job. I've had a 19-year-old girl who's had severe clots in her legs and her lungs. She's in hospital. She took that Pfizer shot last Thursday night. Mm. I've spoken to a 31-year-old man who's been paralysed since early September down his right-hand side. He's got some movement back in his right arm. He has had no income for the last 2 months. He just took out a mortgage before he got that shot. He's been told the only time he's heard from Queensland Health is that he's to be told that he's got to take a second shot. Now, it's bad enough that people don't get a choice to take a vaccine, but it's worse that they're being forced to take a second vaccine after they've had an adverse event and that the government hasn't yet provided them income support while they've been unable to work.
Well, I'm trying to ask another question, but if this is the issue.
I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, just that first part alone. Like, you're seriously arguing that these people have to get the shot or they're going to be fired while they're struggling. I mean, look, right now, if you talk to people and say, should somebody who has blood clots get this shot? They'll say, no, that's dangerous. Except in the situation where they're not allowed to exist in society until they get these two things, regardless of the risk that we keep telling you it's not there, despite the fact that we've admitted it can happen and you're dealing with that problem. I mean, it circles around. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely disgustingly ridiculous. And they are only going to attack him for bringing this obvious point up.
Income support while they've been unable to work.
Well, I'm trying to ask another question, but if this is the
part that got cut up there is they're not even given support, right? Which we see happening everywhere. So you're going to be fired. We're even going to maliciously take what you've already earned, which is your vacation time, because you don't do what we think is right. This is a disgusting time we're in where people are showing their true colors, right? Again, they've gotten rid of all the people who have courage, the people that are willing, even if you disagree, even if you think they're wrong, somebody that's willing to stand against the current political momentum because they believe the other side and are willing to do so in the face of that attack are courageous people. Or the people that are willing to allow people to make their own choices or all these different things. These are people being driven away, fired. So all you're left with are the people that are just going to go along to get along. And that's what we're seeing happen.
Well, you posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
Let's go to one of the cases you posted on. An Australian actress who suffered TTS after AstraZeneca. The news report stated it as a rare side effect. Your comment was rare side effect, not from what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
You've given me some anecdotal evidence. Have you read the TGA weekly vaccine report?
Yeah, I do read it.
Right. So did you hear what the government said about that? Right. Did you read what they told you to think, you dummy? Right. So he's out there talking to people and he's going around and around. And in his experience, he's hearing from people that they're having these side effects. And all they can do is, well, we don't know for sure. So they're obviously fake, because that's an obvious logical jump to make. Right. Well, we don't know. So they're fake. That's what they're all standing on. He's saying, I'm talking to people in the real world and I'm seeing problems. And so when they say it's a rare thing, he's simply saying, not from what I'm seeing. And they attack him for that. That's the world we're in right now.
weekly TGA. So the lady, the 37-year-old who had the stroke in Perth, she's been designated as a B category, which means they won't say whether or not that stroke was caused by the vaccine.
That's interesting.
Given that she had a reaction.
But why is that? Have you looked into why that is?
Well, she had the reaction 15 minutes after taking the vaccine.
15 now, minutes.
You know, but have you just spoken to her?
Oh, I have just spoken to her. Nobody else about it. No, well, I mean, it's not for me to breach the patient-doctor confidentiality, but she...
So immediately trying to undermine what he's saying. Right. Oh, so you didn't actually talk to the doctor. One, they already skipped over the fact that they're forcing people who have blood clots to take a shot that can cause blood clots. That's totally cool. We'll just skip right over that obvious point. I mean, that's incredible, right? I mean, it just blows my mind. But what he's talking about here is that he talked to this woman 15 minutes after the shot, which is what they're telling you is the time frame they're waiting for. And all they can do is label it a vague category, which that's interesting. I didn't know about this to this clip. A vague category. So they're going to indefinitely leave it in a category where we don't know and then claim like if it's in that category, it's not vaccine induced. If you're saying you don't know, that very clearly means it can still be caused by the injection. But how is it possible in this position that anything that's undefined is automatically not true? It just shows you the crazy world we're in. I keep saying that, but these are obvious realities.
Confidentiality, but she's a police officer. She's credible. She's not making stories up.
Right,
so we're not going to try and undermine these victims who
aren't
exactly. or anything right, like but, that. They're entitled.
It's important to deal with evidence
yeah.
here.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's right.
So the evidence you're presenting is I've spoken to one.
Right. So that's great, right? We're dealing with evidence. So as he's pointing out, whether it's observational or not, it's real world stuff. This guy then goes, well, we don't know for sure. So you're wrong. And that's evidence. The evidence is that we haven't proven it. So you're wrong. Like, this is just that's a false argument. I mean, this stuff is getting really ridiculous. It really, really is. Next one.
They've had more reported deaths than all the other vaccines put together in the last 30 years.
Exactly.
I think that it's worth looking at these vaccines they haven't had longitudinal studies done on them, okay? The time that they were reviewed was a very short period of time. And can I say, the World Health Organization...
But do you just read those stats? Let's get to what we know.
Isn't this funny? So he goes, they are looking into it. Oh, so you just admitted that they're continuing to investigate whether or not it's dangerous, but meanwhile, we're going to keep forcing it on people? Yeah, because that's a logical stance, isn't it? This is a guy that is just feebly defending the status quo narrative because that's what his job is. Sure looks like it, too.
Because anyone can talk to one person and say there was a terrible circumstance. I don't know the person. I'm not saying they're not telling
the
truth.
So
there have been deaths from vaccines.
Okay, so that's fair.
You can't talk to one person and say these stats are wrong. Are you disputing the TDA?
Okay, because it's not about statistics, Tom. It's about the way these people have been treated.
Yes.
After they've had an adverse
event. But you said rare side effect, not from what I'm hearing. Are you saying...
Not from what I'm hearing. I'm hearing multiple stories. I've just given you three.
There have been multiple stories, but that doesn't mean they're not rare because there have been 12.6 million of AstraZeneca and more than 30 million vaccines.
By the benchmark of prior vaccines, this is not rare.
Okay? But are you disputing...
That's a huge point right there, right? Using the benchmark of historical examples of the past injections and their processes, this is not rare by any stretch of the imagination, especially since I keep pointing out that the swine flu was canceled because of 53 Vayer's reports of death, unverified, exactly like they're claiming today. They saw 53 reports that were not verified, and they said that's a signal of a problem, and they stopped the whole thing. Here we are with 18,000 plus, or almost, and they go, well, we don't know for sure, so let's keep jamming it in people's arms. How does that even make sense? If we don't know whether those are confirmed, shouldn't we find out before we force it on people, including children? One of the obvious, again, realities that keep showing you that there's something far more nefarious happening here. But like he said, based on previous benchmarks, it's obvious this is not rare. And we're going to get to that point in a minute. The whole, you know, rare things in a pile add up to not rare.
TGA figures.
I'm going to question him about the TGA figures. I don't trust Garrett because he's given me incorrect information in the past. Professor Skerritt, he's giving me either incorrect information or he hasn't done his own research on other
drugs. The published TGA stats on weekly vaccine reports. Do you have any concrete evidence or any reason why they would be wrong?
Well, I'll be asking tomorrow.
Right. So I'm going to pivot back to I'm blindly taking at face value what the authority says is the truth. And until you can prove that's not true, then you're wrong because I'm a blind follower of what the authority says, right? People literally think that's intelligence today. They have been tricked into thinking that blindly trusting what the CDC says is doing your research. That is the most ignorant thing I could possibly imagine, especially when you consider what their history shows you, like from yesterday, not even going back a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Do you know when the WHO was calling out how dishonest they were, or the HHS was calling out how dishonest they were, or the British Medical Journal was pointing out how dishonest the CDC was, or the spider group from within the CDC came out and said, look at how dishonest they are. Yeah, we forgot about all of that stuff. And now we're going, they're the best thing in the world. God, this is so ridiculous.
One between 5 and 11 has died from a vaccine. There's been one person up until just recently, between 11 and 20, that's died from a vaccine in died with COVID, okay, that had meningitis, right? So why are we even talking about giving vaccines to younger people?
Exactly. There's no logical reason other than we'll do that because the herd immunity. So you're arguably saying that you're putting this thing in them that they don't need, that there is risk for, because we want to protect everybody else? Since when do we use the children as a barrier between protecting adults and, or, you know, between adults and something they're afraid of? These are cowards. And obviously, I think that's not even why it's happening. But the reality is the average followers out there that they're pushing this because the government said, they are cowards because they are allowing children to be used, or they think they are, to be a barrier between them. This is really just about getting this in the arms of everybody, everywhere, no matter what. Including the children, which we'll get to later, still have a 1 in a million chance of dying. And as he just said, not one death from 5 to 11, despite the fact that the FDA just recommended shots for 5 to 11. Now, obviously, he's talking about Australia.
When the risk, relative risk ratio is very, very low from the dying from COVID anyway. And pediatricians have called for greater testing of these vaccines.
That's fine. And when that discussion comes up around safety of the vaccine for 5 to 11 year olds versus risk, fine. We put it on the table.
And we just saw and they said, do it. Great. So we'll put it on the table. We'll give it to the groups that we're going to trust blindly because that's what he's told to do. And they do it anyway. So there's zero risk in regard to dying, 1 in a million. Most of them probably have natural immunity, or at least half based on the numbers we're hearing from everybody. And yet we're going to do it because the FDA said they should. And this person with the glasses would say, there you go. They said so. So that makes sense. That's it.
The established figures, not from I spoke to someone, not from anecdotal evidence.
Okay.
It's not the way you can conduct.
Tom, I'm a senator. I don't have time to go through every reported event, right?
You have time to get on your Facebook and post all sorts of nonsense.
Oh, right, right. So now we're going to get into attacks, right? So this is the other guy from the other side who all they're going to do is ad hominem attack this guy for pointing out that there are people struggling that are being forced to take shots, right? So all they can say is anecdotal. What are you saying? You're saying we're looking at things that we haven't proven, therefore you're wrong. That's what they're saying. And then also we're pointing to what they tell us to think and we're telling you you're wrong because look at what the government says. How is anybody just objective looking at this and going, that guy right there is the crazy one? It's disgusting.
You're saying what's happened to these people is nonsense. Why don't you show some respect, Murray? This is a serious issue that is being ignored by the government classes, by the government, by the political class, a serious issue here that needs to get greater national attention.
Tom, is it any wonder that
here we go. Yeah, go and mock these people, Murray. They've been paralysed, they've had strokes.
Jared, I didn't interrupt you.
Yep.
Is it any wonder that Queensland vaccination rates are lagging other states when we have a Queensland LNP senator arm-in-arm with George Christensen and Clive Palmer running around the state, running around the nation, spreading misinformation about vaccines and discouraging people from getting their vaccines? This is about Queenslanders' health. This is about Queensland businesses. This is about Queensland jobs. We all know that the best way to make sure that our economy can open up, that jobs can be provided, that we can keep people healthy and safe, is by encouraging people to get vaccinated. And instead, we've got members of Scott Morrison's own government running around Queensland.
It just makes you sick, doesn't it? Like, so the argument is to shift away from the entire conversation. Who cares about those victims? Who cares about what happened? Who cares that we can't prove it one way or the other? We're just going to jump over to you're a bad person because you're not toeing the line. We all know the things that he's arguing that aren't true. We all agree the things that he's saying he doesn't agree with. Like, what an idiot. Like, what a stupid thing to say. That guy is literally telling you you're wrong. And you go, well, we all agree, which what he's trying to imply is that guy's not on our side. He's outside, right? He shouldn't even be here anymore because he doesn't toe the line. The evidence that we've already shown you, the evidence we're going to go on to show you, shows you that that person is either wildly uninformed, willfully ignorant, or lying to you for an agenda. It's very clear. All of it's in front of you, and we'll continue to point it out. Here is the next point. Guess what? There's another one. Look at, don't you love how they say it twice? Rare case vaginal ulcers could be new, but extremely rare complication of COVID jabs, doctors claim. Rare case, extremely rare. How stupid. Like, I mean, look, it's very transparent when that, like, it's, we don't even know what's going on because we're still defining this, but we're very clear that it's extremely rare no matter what, because we have all the answers. Nope, they're still sussing it out. But we'll dive in aggressively to the extremely rare part because that's all. If you take a list, take a beat and look up all the things they said could possibly happen after this, it is unreal. A waterfall of possible things and different names that most people haven't even heard of. As I said many, many times, how many rare adverse effects of these injections can you put in a pile until they collectively become no longer rare? I mean, really think about what I'm saying there. When does that clear collective risk get discussed in the proper context? Never in today's clown world, COVID clown world. If you have a bunch of rare things that can all happen after that shot, that collective risk begins to no longer be rare. I don't know why this is so hard for people to react. I mean, I do know why, because they just don't want to hear it. And on top of that, which I've said many times also, most of these aren't actually rare, guys. Myocarditis is not even remotely rare. And they've already admitted that, but they keep saying rare. The CDC's own slides show you that it is crazy high, way more than they expect. And that is a super, super serious risk. Remember, a non-serious case of myocarditis can lead to a 25 to 56% increase in mortality over the next 3 to 10 years. That was an NIH or posted on NIH Public Library, a study peer-reviewed about myocarditis long before this ever started. The serious cases, you can die really quickly. It's just crazy that they're pretending this is not as serious as it clearly is. Now, this is where it gets even more horrific, because this continues to be pointed to. And think about how this ties in with all of the things that we're hearing about these side effects. After treating a 16-year-old girl for agonizing lesions in her genitals, they suspect her recent jab could be the only cause. The teenager was not sexually active and had been given her second Pfizer shot days before coming to the hospital. Doc said the young woman, had developed agonizing sores in her vaginal area alongside a fever, fatigue, muscle aches within 24 hours of the U.S.-made shot. The lesions in her vulva had a necrotic flesh-rotting ring and were leaking fluid. Sounds fantastic. They were exquisitely painful and prevented her from using the toilet or walking. Now, this should not be lost on people. We've already talked about this. We've talked about the potential prion disease discussion. We talked about a lot of these things. This has already been established as a clear potential side effect. But you won't hear about that because the mainstream will never talk about it. Tests showed the teen did not have COVID or herpes, causing medics to consider the jab she recently had. Now, didn't have COVID. The injections are causing all sorts of things in people that nobody wants to talk about. Now, one of the real obvious concerns, because I've done this discussion a lot on the other side effects, is just simply how it reduces your antibodies. Now, what I keep saying about that is now being dismissed by the very person who said it on the record, except we're going to go back into the reality that it's obviously happening in other studies and other locations that are obviously telling you, yeah, you're losing those antibodies anyway, but we'll get to that in a second. So here's the guy who's about to say that's not true because he's being forced, in my opinion, by politics to essentially recant what he literally says on MSN right here in front of you. We'll get to it. It's so silly what he tries to pretend is happening now. A news interview I did, this is written by him. This is David Bauer. That's the guy you're looking at right there. Just to show you his name right here, Dr. Bauer. So this is a month old, September. It says the news interview I did was re-edited and misquoted by online conspiracy theorists. My advice is get the vaccine. So are you saying that MSN.com is a conspiracy theorist? I guess so. The point is that they're, as always, using a straw man, right? So they're going to point to extreme cases of things that happened online, like, which is what he does, This one was claiming I had alien DNA and they're all fake news, except we're not, pointing to the one that showed the real clip from MSN.com, on top of the fact that after this, we'll go through the studies that literally say what he says isn't true. Even though, by the way, he said it right here on this. Why don't we just play it first so we can have set the tone? You've seen this many times.
So the key message from our finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard private security antibodies of your immune system, which block the virus from getting into your cells in the first place. So we found that that's less for people with two doses. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies in their blood.
Now feel free to watch this. It just goes on about the same. It's the same thing. The bottom line is, seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Now, you could argue there might be something before that. Sure, that's always possible. But then he's not claiming that the mainstream media took him out of context. He's claiming those fringe conspiracy theorists did. This is your mainstream article that's saying our key findings, easy place to start at, are that you have 5 to 6 times lower neutralizing antibodies after Pfizer, two shots, and even the same, a little bit less degree from one shot. That's pretty damn clear, is it not? Okay, let's go back to what he's saying. He says, first of all, he's the head of the RNA virus replication laboratory at the Francis Crick Institute in London. So somebody who has the credentials to speak on this, right? Now he says, you read this for yourself, as always. It gets into a lot of ridiculous arguments and analogies, but the meat of it, which I highlighted, and please read it for yourself. The original interview was about our research on the Pfizer vaccine, which found that the antibody levels it generates are not as good at neutralizing the Delta variant than against the original Wuhan strain. Okay, so have you heard me argue anything else? What's currently the vast majority of what we're dealing with, according to the government? The Delta variant. Okay, so right now, if you take this injection and you have lower antibodies, if it lowers your antibodies, which, by the way, is the way he said it in that interview, he's sort of now saying that it just gives you less than other ones. But that's not necessarily what he said, is it? And again, don't forget, we're going to prove to you the studies say what he says isn't happening. But that's all we're saying. They're dealing with the Delta variant. You're getting an injection that doesn't do what it's supposed to. Then it goes on to say, but the widely shared versions of the video were often edited and taken out of context to make me out to be some sort of supervillain or the unlikely hero of the anti-vax world. Not anti-vax, right? There's plenty of people out there that are adamant about pro-vaccines that are simply saying that this thing looks dangerous or it's not working or it's hurting your immune system or on and on and on. But yeah, let's make them all anti-vaxxers because that's the easy couched argument. I don't buy this for a second. I think this person was pressured because they knew that his clip was being used because he said something that challenges the narrative. He says, in some videos, this is where it gets ridiculous, I'm shown playing the part of the brave dissenter inside the establishment, blowing the whistle against some imagined harm of the vaccine. Imagined harm? Oh, you mean like blood clots? You mean like heart attacks? You mean like vaccine-induced thrombosis? Yeah, all the things they've admitted, myocarditis? Totally imagined though, right? See, this is called propaganda. In another, get this, I'm introduced as the head of the UK bioweapons program. Is it possible that somebody out there just made that up? Yeah, it's happening all the time. But I get to believe lately that most people that are willing to so blatantly lie or just make things up are probably doing so they can turn around and point to it just like this and then go, there you go, therefore, anybody pointing to that video is therefore fake news. What's the right word for it? I mean, these fact checkers, that's what they continue to do. So we're going to debunk whether Fauci said this one thing. Then we're going to point to a Facebook clip that says something about that. And the thing we point that we're going to prove that what he said about that is fake. Therefore, Fauci never said that. Except, wait a minute, we never actually got into whether he said it. All you're debunking is what they said about what he said. That is it's everywhere. You've seen it in regard to the pneumonia and the face mask around the 1918 discussion, right? They didn't really debunk much of anything other than the side narrative. The reality is that his study pretty much does prove that that's clear, but he never said mask. Most of us were honest about that and aware enough to point it out, but they pulled out a Facebook post that got 3 shares and they make it out to be that's the focal point instead of the shows that got 1 million views, right? Because they're cowards. But here he is going, I was called as the UK bioweapons program being caught admitting the COVID vaccine would somehow destroy your immune system. One of the most widely viewed videos created a convoluted and conspiratorial narrative involving vaccines, alien DNA, and abortion, which was repeated over and over. What does any of that have to do with whether or not what he said was true? You see what they're doing? All they're trying to do is create a narrative about how crazy these people are so they can debunk it. But they're not really debunking it. They're all they're doing is creating your doubt about whether these people are plausible. So what they're doing is attacking their character. That's called an ad hominem attack. That's what people with no argument do. A clever aspect of the videos is that they start with a trace of plausibility before veering into the implausible. In our research, we did find, oh, here we go. We did find that antibodies generated by the vaccine neutralize the Delta variant 6 times less well than they did the original strain in the lab. Oh, okay. So you did say that. Okay, wait a minute. I'm confused now. But it's far better to have some antibodies than none at all. Yeah, okay. Who disagrees with that? Those crazy ones over there that don't really exist in this conversation. Okay, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, does it? Also, on top of that, natural immunity produces way better. We'll prove that again in a second. But let's forget about all of that. Antibody levels in vaccinated people, he says, are still far higher than though they are in unvaccinated people. Except that's actually not even true. But on top of that, we're ignoring the natural immunity part or the fact that people, I mean, look, I'm just jumping to it again. Remember that these are studies that told you that uninfected people before this ever started showed pre-existing antibody reactivity. So is he just making it up? Does he not know? I don't know. You decide for yourself. Another part of the appeal of such misinformation is that it restores a sense of agency to people who lack a sense of control over their own lives. Oh, why do they currently sense a lack of control? Oh, that's right, because the government's taking control of their lives. Yeah, let's skip right over that reality. It makes people feel part of a tribe of those in the know. Now, you know what he's describing right there? Exactly what's happening to people caught in the narrative of the vaccine. We've already talked about the mass psychosis that's happening, how people are ignoring all the science we're proving to you right now. And finding community in those that are willing to trust the government, right? Because all they did was destroy everything. You felt super uncomfortable. You were nervous. You were sad. You were angry. And then suddenly they gave you something to latch onto. Well, the vaccine is coming and it'll save everybody. And if you wear your masks and you come together and fight this all, we're all in this together. They all find that. And suddenly the angst and the anxiety dissipates. Because they feel like they're at least in that community and they can see over they're seeing the plateau, right? And then suddenly you come in and go, but wait a minute, here's proof that what you're thinking is incorrect. Oh, they feel anxious again. So it doesn't even matter that it's true. They're desperately trying to grapple back up to that plateau where they can go, oh, thank God. Now I feel like I'm on the right side and now I'm no longer stressed out. This is classic manipulation. And we're watching it happen. It says, and the fact that these claims are obviously ridiculous and widely condemned by doctors and scientists serves its own purpose. Okay. He's arguing that they're obviously ridiculous and widely condemned, except you just said you said it, by the way. All he's trying to do is couch the argument that what we said was something about alien DNA. Therefore, anybody saying that I said this is this thing that I just admitted that I said is a fake news conspiracy theorist. But you said it right there, and we played it many times. I'm not arguing that you said anything other than you literally said. But he goes on to say the people most involved in spreading misinformation can claim they and their followers are being oppressed, further isolating those who are susceptible and creating an online echo chamber. Right, right. So the echo chamber is not the constant evolution of understanding based on new scientific research. The echo chamber is like, I mean, well, I'm just saying it's the reality. What they're saying is an echo chamber is what I just said. What does an echo chamber really look like? Those that are screaming the same things over and over, high-fiving each other because they're in the know, which is what they really are doing, and not altering anything based on new information. Every single day, we're looking at new research that changes. I mean, look, we were just talking about the ingredients in this thing, and I didn't see any evidence of it, and we were curious about it. I wasn't sure, and then we saw something that changed that, and we talked about it. Now, is that an echo chamber? How can it be an echo chamber if we're evolving our opinion with every single data point? They want you to think we're all this basement-dwelling fringe weirdo. They are the ones avidly grasping on to the echo chamber that makes them no longer feel like they're in danger. It says, it may seem contradictory for a scientist to discourage skepticism. Right. Yes, it is. After all, the thing I teach my students, which I kind of doubt, is to be critical of data and to think of alternative interpretations, as the school you just went through was constantly driving into your head that you should blindly trust what the authority tells you. Ask any doctor. It says, but in this case, it is skepticism built on a foundation of deep theoretical and practical knowledge and an understanding of the field in which they work. Oh, so you're too dumb, is what he's saying. Something that vaccine critics lack. Okay, so just broadly speaking, this man somehow knows everybody anywhere that disagrees is something you just don't have credentials for? How about James Lyons Weiler, PhD? How about Dr. Yeadon? How about Dr. Bhakti? All of them have higher credentials than you, Mr. Bauer. But I guess they're all something that they don't have. And he says, no matter how knowledgeable they may be in other areas. So his argument is that these people don't exist. But he says, but I do have an official title as a scientist and a large body of scientific work proving my relevant expertise. And guess what? He says, and the anti-vax movement, because that's what we are apparently, has almost no one with those things willing to take their side. The overwhelming majority of scientists correctly believed in vaccines. Now, no one's arguing about believing in vaccines. You see how they keep doing this sleight of hand, this shell game? We're talking about one that's not even actually a vaccine. We're talking about injection that is a gene therapy that's experimental, that is clearly dangerous. That's what we're talking about. And all of that is 100% verifiable, despite how the people in that echo chamber act like you're crazy. He is literally arguing that there is nobody of any credential in any community that's talking about how dangerous this is. I could list off all of them and it would take me 2 hours. How many can you continue to see? You're seeing the same faces rotate through mainstream media while we see a never-ending stream of experts that continue to push back, and all they do is get attacked. We just literally watch the entire, or a huge portion of, it's not entire, not even remotely, but a big portion of the members of parliament from Europe telling you that there's concerns, telling you this. We just saw, I mean, we see members of parliament and politicians all over the place. We see scientists and doctors and Nobel laureates, but this guy either doesn't know that or he's part of the problem. Oh, but get vaccinated, though, because that's the point. You should have just made an article that said get vaccinated, and the only line should have been get vaccinated. All done. That was your point, Bauer. Good job. Way to toe the line. That's just so depressing, isn't it? One more time.
The key message from our finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard private security antibodies of your immune system, which block the virus from getting into your cells in the first place. So we found that that's less for people with two doses. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies in their blood. And perhaps most importantly for all of us going forward is that we see that the older you are, the lower your levels are likely to be. And the time since you've had your second jab, as that time goes on, the lower your levels are also likely to be.
Now, that's a huge part that they left out of that conversation, right? No, it's only lower after the injection, except that's completely challenged by the argument that they get lower immediately anyway, after age and after time. Yeah, and we know that the antibodies dissipate in most cases, but they happen very fast in regard to the injection, which we're going to prove to you right now. But isn't it funny how they left that, how he personally left that part out of his article? Why? Because it challenges what he's saying in the article. How dumb is that? But who's editing things out of context, Mr. Bauer?
So that's telling us that we're probably going to be needing to prioritize boosters for older and more vulnerable people coming up soon, especially if this new variant spreads.
Okay, I just want to play it all the way through so there's no argument that I was somehow misrepresenting something. But yeah, that's the point. So it's not working, so we need boosters, right? But you're crazy for thinking it's not working, you stupid, dumb anti-vaxxer, right? So this is where we're going with this. Here is the actual Francis Crick Institute and their study about this topic. So please, someone tell me that I'm taking this out of context. Levels of antibodies in the blood of vaccinated people that are able to recognize and fight the new SARS-CoV-2 Delta variant first discovered in India, B16172, are on average lower than those against previously circulating variants. Again, that's what he said, and that's what we've been talking about. Lower, meaning it's not working. Now, wait till you get the percentages. The results also show that, and remember, the argument that it actually reduces your antibodies is also true, and we're going to get to that in a second. That's what is actually happening here. The results also show that levels of the antibodies are lower with increasing age and that levels decline over time. That's part that just left that out of the conversation. Now it says they found that in people who had been fully vaccinated with two doses of Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, levels of neutralizing antibodies were more than 5 times lower against Delta when compared to the original strain, which current vaccines are based. Yeah, exactly. Now, first of all, remember, and we're going to touch on this again in a second, how in the world this would even work if you're focusing on the spike protein of a distinct variant or just no longer even present. Yeah, that doesn't make sense, and they don't talk about that. 5 to 6 times lower, he says. Importantly, this antibody response was even lower in people who had only received one dose. After a single dose of Pfizer, 79% of people had a quantifiable neutralizing antibody response against the original strain, but this fell to 50% for B117, 32% for Delta, and 25% for B1351. Now, I forget which one that is. Oh, it's right here. Beta. Seriously, the one before Delta, 25%. So people right now that are taking this who come up against beta have a 25% chance. I mean, it's dramatically, that's not even above the percentage required to continue the emergency authorization. Nobody cares about that, though, because it only matters when it works for them. So that's from their document, okay? Now, getting past his challenging argument, even though he's basically saying exactly that, lower, we saw 5 to 6 times lower antibodies after the second shot. Here's, going forward, the other articles that continue to point out what we're talking, this is actually just similar to what he said, June 4th. The research shows that after a single dose, 79, 50%, 32%, 25%, right? Showing you the breakdown of the strains, which we continue to ignore. The Pfizer injection generated fewer antibodies against the Delta variant than novel coronavirus now prevalent in India compared to other variants. Significant development of the country plans to include a significant development as the country plans to include the vaccine in its mass immunization program. The variant, which was found first in India, has now spread to 45 countries. And it's interesting they changed the name after that. The study that we just talked about also showed the antibody levels declined with increased age and over time. So same point, but it's just the realize that it's not just in one location. But this study changes that game a little bit. This is the one we just talked about. Antibody levels decrease after 2 doses of Pfizer vaccine very quickly. This is not saying, oh, it's just lower than against other variants. It's saying it decreases. So are you wrong, Dr. Bauer, or are you just hiding what you were actually finding? You guys think for yourself. October 7th. Again, antibody levels decrease rapidly after 2 doses of Pfizer vaccine. Not lower than other ones we're looking at, but decrease quickly after that shot. A study by researchers at the Sheba Medical Center published on Wednesday, this is on October 7th, New England Journal of Medicine. Okay, let's look at that study. Here it is. Waning immune humoral response to the biotech injection over a 6-month period of time. It says the levels of the IgG antibodies decrease at a consistent rate, whereas the neutralizing antibody level decreased rapidly for the first 3 months. There's that number again. There's a reason I keep bringing that up, because the data shows you that 3 months is where this drops off a cliff. And remember, they told you that you're no longer fully vaccinated after 3 months, even though they're now hiding that for everybody, and it's already happening in Israel. That makes sense. It says, although, or just jumping to this, 6 months after receipt of the second dose, neutralizing antibody titers were substantially lower among men than among women. Conclusion, 6 months after receipt of the vaccine, the response was substantially decreased. The main part is the beginning, first part, where it clearly says, I lost my highlight in there. Antibodies decreased at a consistent rate, decreased rapidly for the first 3 months. To sum it up, antibody levels decrease after 2 doses. Now, is that waning? No, waning is much slower. As you've seen in the past, this is a dramatic drop off a cliff after you get your shots. Pretty damn clear. Now, jumping to the part where we just talked about, again, from a UK study that just came out. Now, where are you at, Dr. Bauer? Are you following the science or are you ignoring the science? From the UK Health Security Agency, their brand new security agency instead of public health, right? Public Health of England has been scrapped. Now they've got the UK Health Agency, Security Agency, right? The FBI of your health, because that sounds fun. They're all about you, right? Like the FBI is for freedom as they constantly destroy your freedom. I wonder if this is the next version. I'm being facetious. Obviously, that's where this is going. How do you not see that your health has now been militarized? Whatever word you want to use. Security agency? Good God. But here's what it says. Recent observations from UK Health Security Agency surveillance data that neutralizing antibody levels appear to be lower in individuals who acquire infection following 2 doses of vaccination. So this is the next step, right? So you dramatically lose your antibodies after you decrease it very quickly after you get your 2 shots. Then if you do get infected, which that's supposed to protect you from, guess what? They're even lower. But it's no, it's just lower against Delta in this one case. And I'm all, don't listen to the conspiracy theorists, you know, alien stuff and all these weird things. Nope, the data's pretty damn clear. And I'm not saying anything other than what the data says. I'm not hypothesizing. I'm not guessing. I'm reading exactly what they're telling you, that it seems to decrease after your shots. Now, on top of that, what we just talked about, just to reiterate, which I think is really important, how in the world can this be effective and safe and be if vaccine rates are not linked to lower COVID rates? By the way, that video was just censored from yesterday. YouTube already banned it, censored it, deleted the channel, in fact. A new paper in the European Journal of Epidemiology, you know, that fake news location, that analyzed 168 countries and 2,947 U.S. counties found that higher vaccination rates were not associated with fewer COVID cases. As clear as it can be. Now, again, take note of how insulting it is. The CDC can look at 10% of your population and say, yeah, yeah, you're good. No breakthrough cases over here, even though they've had all this time. And here these people jump in mid-game and say 168 countries. And even in the U.S., they look at 2,947 counties, not 99 in 14 states, 2,947 counties. So why was this group able to do it, but not you, CDC, with all of your infinite funding? Because you chose not to. So here's what it says. In fact, Vermont has the highest vaccination rate in the country, 65 years and older, 99.9% are fully vaccinated, 74% of those fully vaccinated are 18 to 64, according to the data, and they have one of the highest rates right now in regard to COVID-19 in Vermont. Yet, as the Chronicle points out, despite the high vaccination rate, Vermont recently set a single-day case record. There's widespread agreement among scientists that COVID-19, blah, 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 they keep saying that I don't agree with, still contract the virus, transmit it. Vaccinated people can still contract the virus, they can still transmit it, and can carry just as many virus particles in their throat and nasal passages as unvaccinated individuals when they contract the virus, which seems to be, in fact, more, according to UK data, than the unvaccinated right now. There's right now a doubling, especially in the 40 to 49, 60 to 70-something categories. It's double based on their recent report, double the cases. So they're catching it more, and they can still contract, they can still spread it, they can carry more virus particles. How do you not see what that shows you? Cannot stop transmission. Biden keeps lying to you about that, but we're all fake news, though. May contend they still reduce transmission of the virus. Other scientists are less sure. The study suggests their skepticism may be warranted. What we're going to show you next. And I did just read the quote that we're going to show you right here at the county level. At the county level, and again, this is from the European Journal of Epidemiology, peer-reviewed study. At the county level, there appears to be no discernible relationship between percentage of population fully vaccinated and new COVID cases in the last 7 days. In fact, the trend line actually suggests a marginally positive association such that countries with higher percentage of population fully vaccinated, in fact, have higher COVID cases per million. So those that don't have higher vaccinations are seeing a benefit. That can't be any more clear. The lack of a meaningful association between percentage population fully vaccinated and new COVID cases is farther exemplified. For instance, by comparison of Iceland and Portugal, both countries have over 75% of their population fully vaccinated and have more COVID-19 cases per 1 million than countries like Vietnam or South Africa that have around 10% fully vaccinated. Across the U.S. counties, too, the median new COVID cases per 100,000 people in the last 7 days is largely similar. Same point. The vaccination places, higher vaccination, higher COVID cases. And that's not just the cases. We're seeing deaths and hospitalizations. We just showed you the data. So they step from one lie to the next. Oh, that's because there's more vaccinated. Therefore, there'll be more cases. But it's super rare to get hospitalized and death. Then you jump over and go, what about this stat that shows you there's more hospitalized people in these areas than about? Well, that's because there's mostly vaccinated there, so therefore there'll be more hospitalizations. But wait a minute, you just said the opposite. What about the deaths, though? Well, that's because they're mostly vaccinated, so there are going to be more deaths? What? Wait a minute. None of that adds up, but that's what somebody just told me. I asked my doctor friend, and they said there's going to be more deaths because there's more vaccinated people. Okay, that means it's not working. Doesn't matter whether you're looking at a slanted percentage. I mean, it matters. But right now, if you've got more vaccinated people dying in general than you do unvaccinated, and right now in the world, you're looking at 44.8%, it's very clear what you're seeing. Of the top five counties in the United States that have the highest percentage of population fully vaccinated, the CDC identifies four of them as the highest transmission counties. That's the point. If you're producing the most transmission from places that have up to 99% fully vaccinated population, in fact, four of them on the top of the list are the highest transmission counties, what does that show you? It's not the unvaccinated fault. They're continuing to transmit, which is creating the variants based on all the science from before we got here. It just couldn't be more clear. Now, Disclose TV points out, billionaire investors such as George Soros and Reid Hoffman and founder of LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn that censored T-Lab, don't want to let me back on, even though I don't want to be back on, launched Good Information, Inc. Well, that's not a, you know, that's like the Patriot Act or these nonsensical things. It's Good Information, Inc. A little on the nose, isn't it? A new group to police the internet and tackle disinformation crisis. You know, like this study. Right. So when we point out that these things challenge what they're trying to argue, well, groups like this are going to come along and say, you're fake news, and censor, even though we're proving it with data. Well, as Ivor Cummings points out, that's exactly what's going to continue to happen. Unbelievable anti-science extreme example. I completely agree with him. Thank you for sharing that. Here's Luke O'Neill. I forgot to look who this is. just immunologist. I'm such a hero. Right, he says, great information here. Why vaccination is far preferable to natural infection. So this is an immunologist. You know, I'm sure the CNN would point up as an expert who is saying graphic with no source material. Oh, that's a slam dunk. Well, let's debunk this like crazy. Likely that for most people, vaccination will induce far more effective and long-lasting immunity compared to natural infection. Literally, one of the most false statements I've ever seen, especially in COVID-19. And we're about to prove it to you. Right? So here's the picture. Let's zoom in a little bit and see. Okay. Here's your comparison. Who did this? British Society for Immunology. Fantastic. Natural infection with SARS-CoV-2. Number one, what it means for you. Well, let's see. It says may become very unwell with COVID-19. I guess if you believe that's there, it's certainly possible. Potential. And by the way, remember though, that the vast, vast, vast majority of the population is at less risk than the flu. Fact. It's backed up by the CDC stats, backed up by Oxford calculators, backed up by anywhere you want to look, if you break it up by age, which they won't do on this side of the argument. It says potential to develop long-term complications, long COVID. Well, the first thing I've seen that actually even gives a possible end to that is this thing we'll point out in a second. So I'm simply arguing that, I guess, if you want to argue there's a long-haul COVID, even though I don't ever think we've talked about long anything before 2 years, but open the possibility that that's there. And it does simply argue, as I said from the video we showed before, based on what he's pointing out, it actually seems to suggest that this could be something that was very clearly manipulated, and that's why it's having this effect. But another conversation. But it says, can spread virus to others. Right, so you have an infection, and obviously that they're saying you can spread it. Okay, but vaccination, it says, oh, but no, here's the point. They're saying immunity. So you have immunity after infection. The idea that you can spread it after that is completely unsourced, not backed by anything I've ever seen. In fact, it's backed up the opposite by all the studies we're going to show you in a second. Here it says under vaccination, significantly reduces your chance of developing COVID-19. Not at all backed up by the data. The fact is that we're seeing cases skyrocket right now. And all they're going to do is go, well, because most of them are vaccinated. Well, it doesn't really reduce your chance of getting it if they're getting a huge portion of it, does it? Induces an immune response in a safe and controlled way. Not even remotely. How is it safe and controlled if we're having like 50 to 100 different random things, super rare all over the place? That's not controlled. Induces an immune response in a safe and controlled way. People are dying. 18,000 reports, in fact. Now, you can argue it's unverified, but that means you also don't know if it's true, so you can't call it fake. Reduces chance of spreading virus to others. Again, that's absolutely not true. We just went over that, didn't we? We just talked about it. You can still transmit it. You can still spread it. Even this study is willing to point that out. Oh, where was it? I skimmed past it. Anyway, we just looked at it. What was it over here? Yeah, right here. Still contract the virus, transmit it, and carry just as many virus particles. But they're going to tell you opposite. Vaccine cannot give you COVID-19, they say. Well, this expert argues differently. What they're about to show you here is, you already just showed the other day, I'm just going to play the quick little spot here, where he discusses what they're looking at. The fact that this is post-vaccination, long haul, they call it, only because they see it exactly like COVID-19. So these people have not had COVID-19, they got the injection, and then those four red dots literally look exactly like COVID-19 for a long period of time. in fact, went to the hospital for it. That's severe cases. But it can't cause it, they say. Now, whatever you want to call this, at the very least, you could say that it's leading to the same thing that could be called COVID-19. I believe that's literally the spike protein causing the same problem.
And from our patients. And that is the post-vaccination long haulers, or the people who have never had COVID, and 3 or 4 months after vaccination, they have long hauler symptoms. Well, I think we've enrolled, 100 or maybe even close to 200 now. And we're starting to input the data into our machine learning algorithm. And we had fascinating results from the first 20 or 25 that we fed into the machine learning, where we saw a very heterogeneous group. There was one individual who was normal by the severity score, which we use in acute COVID, and negative by the long hauler score, which we use in long haulers. We found four individuals who had a inflammatory profile that looked a lot like COVID and severe active COVID, although it wasn't.
Oh, so I guess I misremembered that. I thought I remembered him saying they were hospitalized. Regardless, the point to take is that they were basically looked exactly like COVID from a scientific perspective. So couldn't you therefore argue that this gave them COVID? If it's basically indiscernible, it looks exactly the same? I guess not.
And then the rest look exactly like long haulers from the long hauler index. So, and then we went to a binary bioinformatics models. They all qualified as long haulers. So indeed, immunologically, they resemble very much like long haulers. We've treated them as such, and we've been very successful in treating them. So as much.
So there you go. So not only was it looking like the same thing, not only was it acting like the same thing, not on the same symptoms, same everything, but they treated it the same way. And what do you know? It had the same result. So look, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, right? It's the same old argument. What are we talking about here? At the end of the day, does it really matter if it's literally causing the same thing, it's treated the same way, and it has the same side effects? This is the spike protein causing the same problems, guys. And it's the same thing that we always have been told from the very beginning. It's the spike protein, as the Salk Institute points out, and a lot of other studies have told you, by itself can lead to disease, which means it can cause illness and can be spread. So whether or not it's COVID, or whether the spike protein is COVID-19, whether that's a biomanipulation that's been let out or accidentally, doesn't really ultimately matter in this point of the conversation. It is causing illness, and all they can do is hide it from you. Let's go forward. Immune response varies hugely between people. Many factors impact on immune response, effectiveness, age. Some people do not have a detectable long-term immune response. Well, that's not exactly what you could say some. WHO would tell you 90 to 99% of people infected with SARS-CoV-2 develop detectable neutralizing antibodies, which is far less than we're seeing with this 25-50% injection of a Delta variant that they're forcing on everybody right now. But who cares about that? Then it goes on to say maybe linked with disease severity. People who experience more severe illness are more likely to have a stronger immune response, except The Lancet says, nope, not true. Regardless of disease severity, you have immune responses that are robust and lasting. It lists robust and adaptive immune responses that include T-cell CD8 responses, memory B, all the things that actually matter other than the specific antibody for one spike protein that no longer is happening in regard to the variants, which is why it's not working. But they're just blatantly telling you, just like Ivor Cumming says. This is unbelievable anti-science extreme example. That's what this is. They're lying to you, right? I mean, how can I point to one of the highly respected if not the most highly respected publication for scientific information? And they're literally going, well, we don't know. It could be, if you don't have a severe, it might not even work. Well, peer-reviewed science says otherwise. Now, I don't believe that it automatically means it's true. But my point is always the same. Aren't they the ones telling us to trust the science? It's right there. And by the way, I'm not saying that only one thing's out there. I've shown you many others that say the exact same thing. They're just ignoring it, guys, because it works for the narrative. Or these people who wrote this don't even know that it's there because they don't care to look, because trusting the CDC is all they do. Well, here's the good side of it. Even with the arm showing you were strong, varies, but most, even older people, produce a strong immune response. That's not true if you just show the stats that are saying 25 to 50%. 25 to 50%. And that is 5 to 6 times lower antibodies in a general sense. But yeah, it produces strong immune response because we want it to. Based on what? Based on the original strain. That's what they always base this on. And it's not even here. May produce a more robust immune response? Literally false. I mean, in every possible way. Had COVID, you'll probably make antibodies for the rest of your life. But this thing that lasts 3 months and then drops off immediately, maybe even better though, just keep telling yourself that. Immunity to the virus from natural infection is boosted after vaccination. Nope. SARS-CoV-2 antibodies recognize both original strain and Delta variants and potential risk for mass vaccination. Antibody-dependent enhancement is potential concern for vaccines. And it says very clearly that AD antibody-dependent enhancement may be a concern for those receiving vaccines based on that original strain because it can lead to your body attacking itself. Now, if I had the other one that was... It pops up. Yep, there it is. Oh, wait, no. That is not the right one. There's one on the same location where it's saying, essentially telling you, I'm not going to try to seek it out right now. I should have grabbed it before. Telling you what I've always told you, that it is fact is there is no, on top of the fact that there's a risk, there's plenty of other scientific studies that have continued to tell you there's no benefit. There is literally no scientifically proven benefit to having an injection after having the natural infection. On top of that, it could, as we just told you, cause your body to attack itself. But all they're going to do is just lie to you. It's boosted afterwards, so do it anyway. Despite the fact that you have lasting immunity that's way better than anything else, just get the injection that could also kill you. No worries. Or cause myocarditis, or cause any number of things, which, by the way, has very clearly proven. I didn't say always, but it can. But they like to censor that because they don't like you hearing the truth. Length of protection. Here's where it gets more ridiculous. Variable and not fully known. Oh, great. So they're claiming it's not fully known how long it lasts. Well, The Lancet says it's adaptive and robust. Nature says it could last the rest of your life. JCI says that it is a majority of people had antibodies before we ever got here. And it also talks about memory B, T cells. The WHO that we're not supposed to challenge tells you that 99 up to 99% will have antibodies. It's just ridiculous. Oh, that's the last part. This is before I get there. I forgot I didn't have all of them pulled up. You've seen me. I could pull up 35 studies right now from literally every highly credentialed outlet, and they'll just pretend it's not there. Variable, not fully known. How can you possibly say that right now? Because they just keep leaning into that. Well, we don't know. We don't know for sure is their favorite argument right now. Which then means it doesn't work, right? We don't know for sure. I mean, it doesn't work. Reduces over time. Protection tends to be lower in people who are mildly ill. Again, not true, regardless of disease severity. Multiple other studies came to the same conclusion. Why are they lying to you? Do they not know? Are they choosing to be dishonest? I leave it to you to make that conclusion. But it's obvious that they're not accurate. They're wrong. Reduces over time is also actually incorrect. The antibodies were shown to wane a little bit, way less than the waning after a sharp cliff after the two to three month drop off. But the point is that as those wane, and we already showed you, guess what happens? The memory B T cells increase. They get better because that's the full picture of immunity they don't want you to really think about. They just ignore that. Still to be learnt. Under the argument is vaccination under their length of protection. They're going, we don't know. We're still learning how it works. So you know for sure that the natural immunity that you're pretending you're not even barely looking at, we know for sure that doesn't work, right? But the one over here, we're still investigating. So why can't you just argue we're investigating both and we don't know? Because they're playing you don't know on one side, meaning it's probably going to work and you don't know, or we don't know for sure. On the other side means it doesn't work for sure. Means whatever they want it to mean, guys. Produced long-term protection so far. What does that even mean? How can you argue that two shots produce long-term protection so far when we're not even there yet? Booster vaccines could maintain a strong immune response. So you guess? These don't work, but these could make a difference. Science. It says reflection on variants, reinfection possible but uncommon. Is that true? As response to natural infection is variable, immune system may not be able to recognize viral variants. Before we even get to the next point, here's what they say on the other side. Two doses of some vaccines provide strong protection against many current identified variants. That's not true. In every case we're seeing, look, it's pretty damn simple. When you make an injection based on the original strain, and all that does is produce antibodies for the original spike protein in that strain, and then you have new things coming out, it's not working. That's why it went from 50 to 25%. It's dropping off. That's why they're making boosters and they're changing stuff in real time. And they're even admitting that to you. They're going to make an improved booster. They're scrambling to make, okay. Then it says high antibody levels produced are more likely to cross protect against new variants. No, that's not true at all. That's not true. And all the science has proven that. Vaccines can be adapted to boost immune against new variants. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do right now. So if you have to adapt them to make it better, how can you argue it's working? Now, to the point again, they may not be able to recognize these. Reinfection, possible but uncommon in variants in regard to the unvaccinated, the natural infection. Well, Science Magazine. Only one I've seen even remotely get into this topic in this regard. Ultra potent antibodies. And it goes on to discuss more than just antibodies. Remember, this in all these studies, it gets into talking about T cells and memory B, but it says ultra-potent antibodies against diverse and highly transmissible SARS-CoV-2 variants. The main point, they identified four antibodies from early outbreak convalescent donors. So you caught this back in the middle of 2020, and they're telling you they already identify four different antibodies that were potent against 23 variants. Including variants of concern. So I guess they just missed that one, right? No, they're blatantly ignoring that the science clearly shows you that if you got naturally sick, you continue, that's what the study shows you, you continue to produce antibodies to the variants that it can produce. It's telling you right there, these 23 variants didn't pop up when they got this back in 2020. They slowly continued to pop up along the time after. And guess what? The increase of those variants perfectly aligns with the increase in vaccination. Shocking, I know. And every time a new one popped up, they found, well, what do you know? You already have antibodies for it. On the other side, it's going the other direction. It is nosediving, and they're scrambling to make a new version. Couldn't be more clear, as they repeatedly lie to you. Now, on that note, to finish off here, guys, or before we get to the last point, something that somebody just sent me via email today. A new study on Nature, cellular molecular immunology, but on nature.com. October 25th, yesterday. The spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 variant A30 is heavily mutated and evades vaccine-induced antibodies with high efficiency. Now, right out of the gate, recognize that I'm not saying that we can prove these variants are even there. We know this hasn't been isolated. Nobody's verified this stuff. We've talked about all of that. Arguing from within their narrative, which is what I hope we continue to understand, they're telling you that this is a new variant, A30, and it's mutated and evades vaccine-induced antibodies. So right there telling you right now that as your new or your natural immunity continues to pump out antibodies to the new variants that continue to be made from the very beginning to now, so it's just as logical that it'll do the next one too, just like all the rest of them, what they're telling you now is the thing I keep telling you this whole show. That it's your antibodies or your response to the injection is going the other direction. Oh, that's weird. Infection, injection, direction. Mutated and evades vaccine-induced antibodies. So those antibodies you made from an injection that's based on the Wuhan strain, which then hurts you based on the Delta variant, aren't going to work. So that booster shot you just got based on the Wuhan strain clearly isn't going to work to what's coming around now. If you believe what they're saying, and it evades that vaccine antibody with high efficiency. Here's what it says. COVID-19 vaccines elicit antibodies that are directed against the spiral spike protein and neutralizes the virus. Right. But the spike protein from that original strain. However, the emergence of SARS-CoV-2 variants with spike protein mutations that confer resistance to neutralizing might compromise vaccine efficacy. Whoa, look at that. Isn't that what I just said? Why? It's amazing that when I say it, oh, you're too stupid and you're fake news conspiracy theorist. Here's Nature telling you that because it's changing, the antibodies that they made in the original injection based on that first viral spike based on the original strain, well, they're not going to work now because of the mutations to the original strain, mutations to the strain and the spike protein going forward. It's pretty damn simple, isn't it? But they won't want you to think about this stuff. We investigated host cell entry and antibody-mediated neutralization of the variant A30. When they say antibody-mediated, this is basically saying that the antibodies we're talking about that you have from the injection are being stopped. It says, which was detected in several patients in Angola and Sweden in spring 2021 and likely originated in Tanzania. Now, here's an interesting point. if this thing is just running rampant in places that are vaccinated, totally jumping right over their antibodies and hurting people, but Sweden seems to be doing just fine, what does that tell you? The same thing I was just telling you, that they have natural immunity because they didn't lock down, they didn't force vaccines, they didn't force masks, their economy is thriving. They're continuing to, this is what I'm going to get into this point in the lockdown discussion with my next show, that they're arguing, look at this, Sweden failed, we all know it. That's not true. The data is unequivocally clear. They're playing statistic games and trying to look at their death ratio based on this age stratification. It's clear, guys. They're wandering through the streets, going to bars, going to public beaches, going around the world, and people aren't just dropping dead. If this is the biggest pandemic in a century, you would see it ripping through them, but it's not. But people still get sick. Of course. Are those flu cases they're labeling COVID? That could be possible too. PCR tests, they went on a deathbed in nursing homes. That's happening all over the world. So deaths could be wrong too. Regardless, their society is not like everybody else. Look at places with the highest vaccination rates like Vermont. They're struggling. Compared to Sweden, it's a no-brainer. In Sweden right now, they're not being ripped apart by A30, despite the fact that they're telling you it's there, right? Now, maybe I'm jumping the gun. Maybe a week from now, a month from now, it's going to get real bad in Sweden. And that would probably suggest to me that this was something a little more nefarious, my opinion. Regardless, let's wait and see what happens. I think Sweden's going to fare just fine, and it's going to continue to show you that they are already good to go. Meanwhile, people that got the injection and they got their third and their fourth booster are not good to go. And it's right now telling you that it's going to invade your induced antibodies from the injection. Now, I'm just showing you this so you remember what they are. B1351 is beta. B1525 is ETA, which, by the way, I've never even heard of ETA, but whatever. All of these variants everywhere, we're being told. It says, oh, and don't forget that breakdown when you can see that once the injections were given, you see the variants explode. Like, it's just not, it's impossible not to miss this if you care to look. But the beta showed markedly reduced neutralization by antibodies induced upon infection. All right. Not working. Neutralization evasion by A30 and the ETA was slightly to moderately less efficient. A30 was more resistant to neutralization by antibodies induced upon homologous Oxford injection and, guess what, Comirnaty injection compared to the beta. Now, it says, finally, all variants tested exhibited reduced and comparable evasion of antibodies induced by Oxford and BioNTech Comirnaty injection, in keeping with findings published for the Delta variant. Right. None of it works, guys. That's the gist. None of it. In summary, A30 exhibits a cell line preference not observed for other viral variants and efficiently evades neutralization by antibodies elicited by Oxford injections or by Pfizer Comirnaty injections. Couldn't be more clear. Our results suggest that the SARS-CoV-2 variant A30 can evade control by vaccine-induced antibodies and might show an increased capacity to enter cells in the cathepsin-L-dependent manner, which might particularly aid in the extrapulmonary spread. That's fantastic. So not only is it evading your injection antibodies, if they're even there, but it's aiding, or it can, in tuberculosis. Think about what we just talked about yesterday. Tuberculosis, basically, let's just do this so I can get the one I looked at earlier. Oh, I got it right there. Look, I'm always ahead of myself. Extrapulmonary tuberculosis is an infectious disease caused by, whatever, in general. But what it says here, in case I'm missing this, it says extrapulmonary spread. So that might not necessarily mean tuberculosis. That's the only thing that popped up when I searched for it. Just the word itself. Let's just do this real quick. Situated or occurring outside the lungs. And then it uses tuberculosis as an example. So it seems like they're really closely tied. Regardless, remember they just told you that they're blaming tuberculosis on COVID-19 now. You know that 1.5 million tuberculosis cases they had that year before this all got bad and ignored that and we weren't having a tuberculosis pandemic. So why not? It spreads. It's contagious because it's all about politics and how they frame things. But now, next year, this next coming year, well, guess what? All those tuberculosis cases are going to be jammed in. We're going to have a million plus cases. Oh, yeah, just like they probably expect. But this is showing you that it increases that risk. But guess what they're going to blame it on? The unvaccinated, despite the science they tell you to trust. and we're going to be censored for pointing to the science they tell you to trust. It's childishly ridiculous. But again, FDA advisory panel recommends Pfizer vaccines for kids 5 to 11. 5 to 11. After everything we just said, after everything we've shown you from the beginning of this illusion, they're still recommend. These people should be removed immediately. If you can't see the safety signals existing in Pfizer and in Bayer's, 53 for swine flu, 53 alone, 18,000 right now. If you can't see the safety signals, you are not actually caring about safety. Well, shocker, I know. FDA, CDC, these are captured agencies, guys, and anybody honest can point that out, as even the government used to point it out right up until this thing shifted everyone's perception. They're lying, they're manipulating, this is dangerous, and they don't need it. And to finish that point off, yet again, for the 50th time, let's just quickly show people that might not have seen it on the COVID risk assessment Oxford calculator, what it actually comes out to for 19, seeing as how they won't let you go any lower than 19, probably for a reason. We'll pick male, we'll pick white British, we'll make this basically the same as before. Going through these for the podcast, generalized. Wait, is that backwards? Did I do it backwards? Oh, I did it backwards. Sorry. I'm not metric system. My apologies. is that wrong? Am I crazy? Hold on. I want to do this right. Let's do. Actually, I'm much lighter than that now. Shoot. Let me go back. Okay. So it would be in kilograms. That would be 68. Okay, so that's right. Very good. Okay, so that's right. Okay, so just for those in the podcast, I was just making sure I had the translation to, or the crossover into metric system correct for weight and height and so on. So then we go through and we say no problems, right? Not nursing home, don't have diabetes, no comorbidities is the point. Okay, because that's the reality for a lot of these people that are being forced to take this. They don't have any issues. They're not in danger across the board. And guess what it comes out to, as we've continued to show you. If you are 19 years old and you have no comorbidities, your chance of dying from COVID-19 is literally one in a million. Literally one in a million. Can you imagine what that risk is for 5 to 11? Way, way, way lower. That's crazy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And yet they're telling you these people are at risk. How is that possible? How is it possible that they're forcing this in on children that don't have that risk? Because you realize this isn't just going to go away. They're forcing this on people to go to school. They're mandating these for children 5 to 11 that are going to school. Even though, by the way, they're in the emergency authorized category. Still, gosh, it upsets me. After everything we showed you. But you know what? We won't give up. We will keep fighting for them. We will keep fighting for even those people that don't realize they're being manipulated, because that's what we're here to do, to fight for you. And I will continue to do so. Thank you all for being here and continuing to stand up for yourselves, for those around you, and standing up for the people that don't even realize you're fighting for them, despite how they attack and are malicious and manipulative and dismissive. Not all of them. Some of them, like the lady I spoke to, can see and can realize that there is more common ground than maybe not, but have the courage to stand up in the face of such obvious attacks, because now is the time to do so. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself. But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You can do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen, get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.